much about.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So I thought it'd be fun if we all went around and said our name and a little something about ourselves. I'll start. My name is Rod, and I like to party. All right, Dave, you're up.
Hi, my name is Dave, and I like to party.
No, Dave, I just said that I party, so maybe do something different for me.
Dave!
I like to party, I'm Rod.
No, you're Kevin.
Right, Kevin, I party.
No, no, you don't. Okay, nobody parties but me.
Yes, and we party.
No!
Yeah, just Rod.
Yes.
And me.
No! I'm the only one who parties.
I'm pretty sure I've partied before.
No, Kevin, I know for a fact you don't party, okay? You do not party.
You're right. Dave's a party guy.
Sweet.
And now, remember Paula Abdul's?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, Kevin parties, all right.
What was that from?
That's from a little movie called Hot Rod, I want to say, by Andy Samberg wrote and directed.
Ah.
Which is not as funny as that scene would make you think, but still worth checking out. Still something you might enjoy, I think.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's Tuesday morning.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Bean.
They're fine.
First of all, we desperately missed you last week.
I heard a little something about what...
What?
And what, I
whatever
just
you heard,
thought,
it's not true.
Equipment malfunction.
Am I going to be allowed to go away again?
Equipment malfunction. What are you supposed to do?
Abuse these poor,
how
fine
dare you?
People who do a wonderful job.
How dare
job.
You? I'm sure he or she is very nice. You didn't say... anything about that at all. But what about you practically moving to Hawaii instead of coming back? What about that?
Unbelievable. So, Big Island, Kona, yeah. Small airport. Big Island, small airport.
Right.
Only a couple of flights go out a day. Supposed to fly out on Sunday at 9 p.m. Flight canceled.
Oh, sweet.
So, we all get into buses. And I found out later, I was really lucky because we checked in and we had a place to stay that night. A lot of people waited 2 hours in line, then were sent to a hotel, and then that hotel was full.
Oh,
and then they had
sweet.
To get sent other places. So then they send us all back at 8 in the morning. It takes like seriously 4 hours to check everyone in because
wow.
they have connecting flights and all. So we don't get out until 1:30.
Sweet.
Get to the airport. It's 9:30. Parked in Lot C, Labor Day. Hour wait for the bus.
All right.
And that was good. Other people had waited an hour and a half. Get out to Lot C. Boyfriend's car won't start. And it turns out it's my fault because I got in the car and left that mirror thing with the light on.
Yeah.
You know, I flipped it open. So it's totally my fault. So then we had to call AAA. So I literally got into bed at 12:30 last night.
Dude. That's fantastic.
So that, and all my stuff's at my mom's because my plan was to go back there and get Boner. So I don't have my bag or my headphones
it's
or anything.
Or
yeah, it's my dog. So, look, if it wasn't my dog, I would take it to Hawaii.
Wow. So Big Island, small airport, meaning when a flight's canceled at 9, there are very few options after that.
There's
right?
none.
They're
There's
already
none
closed. You can't even get over to one of the other islands even if you wanted to try to get back that way, right?
Oh, and here's my favorite part. After we checked in the next day, we get vouchers for a restaurant that doesn't open
Sweet.
for an hour and a half, and the grill doesn't open for an hour after that. So, yay!
Wow. What, do they serve soda? What?
You could get a bowl of cereal.
Oh, okay.
And some coffee.
Wow.
That was
good
it.
Times.
But Hawaii was fabulous.
Sure.
Beautiful.
As long as you plan on moving there.
Exactly.
As long as you don't. I mean, you can check in, but you can never leave. That's the thing about Hawaii, I guess.
That's pretty much it.
Wow. Good times. Monkey, you do anything fun?
No, I didn't. I just hung out at home. Had a good time.
How was there a 3-day weekend you didn't end up in Las Vegas?
That's a good question.
Well, I'm going to Vegas later this month, but yeah, I don't know. I just wanted a weekend where I didn't do anything. It was fun. It was a good time.
Wow. It was an opposite weekend?
Yeah. No. No.
Well, I spent all weekend reading about my new friend, this Texas man, Adrian Carter, 29 years old. He stopped at a convenience store on his way to, well, it says he was going to the Scottish Inn to meet his paramour. Now, generally, if you're in your hometown, do you take your lady to a hotel? It seems unlikely to me that it was really his girlfriend.
Right.
Yes.
Unless he has a wife. In which case, then it is his girlfriend.
So anyway, so he stops at a convenience store and he buys something called Virilis Pro. I've never heard of this before, but this is one of those pills that you see on the counter, say at the 7-Eleven or the AM/PM. It's a sexual enhancement supplement.
Right.
And it's supposed to make sex better. It's supposed to make it last longer. It's supposed to, you know, make you perform better, shorter refraction time. I don't know how they put all that in a $2 pill, but he bought it.
They don't.
He bought it, and then he takes his lady to the hotel. And let me quote from the CBS News article now. During intercourse, Carter experienced significant pain and observed a large quantity of blood squirting out of his penis onto the sheets, wall, and mirror.
Jeez, it looks like a murder scene.
What is happening?
That isn't good for you.
According to the lawsuit filed on August 27th in Harris County, it was pretty horrific to view the pictures, said Carter's attorney. I know it sounds unusual. He was young and healthy. He was on no other meds at the time that he took the supplement. So they are suing the supplement company for creating whatever this this murder scene was in his bed.
Wow.
To which I'm sure the company is going to say, look, these pills do or don't do a lot of things, but one of the things they can't be responsible for is, you know, making blood squirt. I mean, that's generally a fractured penis, which wow. is what he ended up with is as a result of, you know, moving it wrong. You know,
you're talking a lot about boners these days.
It's true.
Remember, just at the end of last week, we had another story where the dude had the Superman, whatever it was.
Right, right. It would never end.
Yeah.
But I guess the fractured penis is that's when it's usually some sort of a vigorous sex exercise, and you know, you're at the wrong angle,
kind of land
like
on
that.
It wrong.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that seems far more likely than the supplemental pills. I can't imagine the pills have anything to do with it.
I
right?
can't either. No.
Can you?
No, but I don't think those work. So who knows?
Yeah.
Emergency room doctors. Here's your final paragraph. You'll love this so much. Had to, and I'm not familiar with this word. Deglove. Carter's Ooh. Penis in order to repair it, rendering him unable to have sex or future children.
Ever?
That's it? He's done?
Well, I mean, he had a good run. He's 29.
Wow.
My God.
I don't know what degloving is. We may have to ask Dr. Mo about that, but degloving apparently is a thing.
Now. Would that be stripping off the outer skin?
I don't know.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, all right.
Sorry.
Good times.
So I don't know what the moral of this story is. You have to draw your own conclusions.
Don't do what that guy did, whatever it was.
Yes.
But no bueno is what I'm saying.
Correct. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why?
Not bad. That's why. LaQuisha will be on the program talking about keeping up with the Kardashians.
God
that show
her.
Can't still be on.
Absolutely. It's still on. Gets good ratings, too. Hard to believe. There's a Batman Live show coming to town, and we're going to talk to the guy who's playing Batman, Sam Heughan. I have no idea how to say his name. None. I know it's not how I said it, but I don't know how to say it. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin about celebrities.
Oh,
what went
yeah.
on over the weekend?
Yeah.
Rob Delaney.
Oh, he's so funny.
Comedian will be in the studio today.
Excellent.
And at 7 o'clock, a little band you may have heard of called No Doubt.
Yeah!
So that's coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Back from the Labor Day weekend. It is Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph,
yep.
how are you?
Yeah.
How was your weekend?
Outstanding. Thank you.
Yeah?
I'm exhausted.
Exhausted?
Exhausted. What?
It's partying hard.
You're supposed to be tan, rested, and ready now.
Nope. I'm pale, hungover, and tired.
You need a weekend?
I need a holiday. When's the next holiday coming up? What do we got? We got Halloween? When do we get off next? What's going on? Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we, as it is our first day back after the long weekend. We'll treat it like a Monday. How about that? And take a look at the Labor Day box office to see what made the most okay. in theaters around the country this weekend. The Possession, in its debut, was the number one movie at the box office, made $21.3 million. A lot of people went to see that kid with the scary box.
Kevin, you see it?
I did not see it, no, but I was dying.
That means you'll never see it.
Maybe.
Oh, now you're behind.
No, I went to see Bourne, though. So the Bourne.
But that was weeks ago. How did you see that? It's against all your rules.
You went to see a sticky old movie?
Well, it was opposite weekend.
I really wanted to see it, but I'll get to Possession.
Was it opposite weekend?
No, it was not. Oh, right. I'll get to Possession.
Lawless opened up this weekend as well. The Moonshine Story with Shia LaBeouf made $13 million. The Expendables 2 came in at number 3. The Bourne Legacy that Kevin went to see was fourth, and then Paranorman rounded out the top five. The Odd Life of Timothy Green, The Dark Knight Rises. 2016, Obama's America was eighth. The Campaign and Hope Springs. Number 10. Must cheese off Will Ferrell that his hilarious political satire, The Campaign, ranked below the hilarious political satire, Obama's America. 2016. He must be upset he's losing out to that comedy. Speaking of movies, The Dark Knight Rises finally popped over the $1 billion mark over the weekend.
Wow.
Thank God. We were all worried it wouldn't get there.
And by finally, you mean, hasn't it been like 3 weeks, a month?
Yeah, it's been about a month.
Wow.
Movie doing better overseas than it did here in the in North America. Made $431 million in North America, but overseas it's a little bit of a bigger hit. $577 million. So,
wow.
Put it together and boom, $1 billion.
I think it was your great review of the film, Ralph. I think that's what
that's
did
what it.
It
was.
Put it over the top.
Especially overseas.
The Avengers, by the way, just passed $1.5 billion in global
wow.
ticket sales. So, all that considered, Hollywood saying a disappointing lackluster summer for them. Did not do well this summer in terms of box office. Shocking. Some sad notes to the showbiz news. We've lost some celebrities over the weekend. Hal David, one of the greatest lyricists of all times. He legendarily worked with composer Burt Bacharach and just cranked out hit after hit after hit in the 60s and 70s. Even the 80s and 90s, he had a couple. He was 91 years old. Wrote for the likes of Dionne Warwick, The Carpenters, Tom Jones, Herb Albert, B.J. Thomas.
Ridiculous amount of hit records,
yeah,
that guy's.
Insane.
Dozens and dozens and dozens.
Insane. Just sat away with a pop song that we probably won't see ever again. And Kevin finally got his wish, and Michael Clark Duncan passed away over the weekend.
How dare you.
Green Mile and Whole Nine Yards star was just 54 years old. Yikes. Suffered a heart attack back on July 13th, had been in the hospital ever since. Did not recover well. His fiancée, Omarosa from The Apprentice, was reportedly visiting him at the hospital, left the room briefly. When she returned, he had died. I think cops should talk to her, by the way.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, I was out of the room. No, I just went to get some coffee, and I came back, and he was smothered with that pillow. Where's his will?
The last time we had Mr. Duncan on, Kevin was talking about wanting to get him in a ring, right?
Yes.
And
right,
fight him.
Right. Called him a girl and said, I will fight you.
He sure did.
I don't remember any of that.
And once again, the Kevin and Bean jinx continues because now Michael Clark Duncan is dead. So, nice work.
I don't know that I should be blamed.
Leisha Cuthbert.
Yes.
Of The Happy Endings is not only beautiful and talented and funny on that show, but she's also quite the hockey fan. So much so that she married herself one, or is going to, engaged to Toronto Maple Leafs captain Dion Phaneuf. They got engaged over the weekend. What's so funny?
You keep your last name. I'm going to go with Cuthbert.
You want Alicia Phaneuf? Alicia Phaneuf. For the record, she's 29. He's 27.
Ooh.
Way to go, Phaneuf. They've been dating for about 4 years. She was really a hockey fan, though. She'd date somebody else other than a Leaf. They're not doing so well. There's a lot of other teams in the league, Alicia. And our boy, Hank Williams Jr. is back at it again. God bless him.
All right.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
He was magical this weekend. Performing at the Stockyards in Dallas, Texas on Sunday night. Old Hammer and Hank had a chance to take some time between songs to, well, of course, slam Obama, but throw in some other groups as well. Here was his quote. We got a Muslim for a president.
Good start.
Good start, right? It's better. Who hates cowboys, hates cowgirls, hates fishing, hates farming, loves gays, and we hate him.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
There's your H-Dub Jr. quote of the day.
You know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
He's magical.
He really is.
By the way, where are all the country music shut up and sing fans now? Remember what they did to the Dixie Chicks?
Yeah.
When the Dixie Chicks dared to say one sort of negative thing about George Bush out of the country?
Yeah.
Oh, Clear Channel and the country music and the radio stations. Boy, they come down, the Dixie Chicks. Where are those people now about don't talk about politics, singer, just shut up and sing? Let me hear the Monday Night Football theme, Hank, and shut up. Where are those people?
Hey, the same people who criticized George Clooney for working for the president had nothing to say about Clint Eastwood working for Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Well, that would be two. That would be two people, Hank. Look, no one's saying he can count the three. Starts the songs. One, two. Whatever's next.
Come on.
Everybody's confused in this band. It's hard being with Hank. What a douchebag. Today's celebrity birthdays. Here's a guy. Do you know a better guy than this guy? This guy I'm talking about? This guy?
I don't know yet.
Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Oh.
Celebrates his 54th birthday today.
Not a doctor, but still a hell of a guy.
He's a doctor. He's only a TV doctor. Of course, he's not a real doctor. But he is a good man. And look, if he applied himself and went to medical school, I bet he'd make an excellent doctor.
He did that, and he is a doctor. Saying.
At this point, they ought to just give him the medical license just because he's been practicing medicine for so long.
He has a medical license.
And because he's kept up the charade for so long, I think he's earned it.
How dare you?
Damon Wayans celebrates his 52nd birthday today. Actor Wes Bentley celebrates his 34th birthday. Max Greenfield, how funny is he? A new girl is Schmidt.
He's the best. Awesome.
33 years old. And Beyonce. She's 31 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A band called No Doubt will be here at 7 o'clock this morning, about 40 minutes from right now, here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Tuesday. I got so many questions for these guys. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk to all four of them. I think I'm going to start with What Up.
I think that's good.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the opener, and I think that'll lead us into some other interesting areas.
And then you can follow up with What Else Up.
And then thanks for coming by.
Right.
So No Doubt at 7 o'clock this morning. That's just in about 40 minutes or so from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the Afro Line is on the air with your calls that you leave for us on our voicemail at 323-520-AFRO.
We had Joe Rogan on last week, and this guy believes that perhaps Joe is sharing, even through the airwaves, Joe is sharing.
Joe Rogan smokes entirely too much. Am I right? I'm pretty sure I got contact high through the radio.
It's very possible.
That is possible, actually.
If you don't understand what this woman is saying, neither do we.
Stella Ledvin and Regina Rosenblatt are off to be lesbianed by Chabad at the mikveh.
What?
I don't know.
What language is she speaking now?
I don't know. I don't know what she's saying. I love her because she's crazy, but I have no idea what she's talking about.
How does she not know the lady who keeps getting abducted by aliens?
I don't know. We should introduce them. They'd be a perfect couple.
Hey, you guys asked for it. Here it is. There you go. Kevin and Bean chocolate bar.
Oh, wow.
Did you ask for that?
We didn't. Well, we were talking about
some products.
You did in some way.
Gimmicky products and stuff. Then he called back.
At least we were talking about it. Now that Mark and Brian are gone, there's no cheesy radio giveaway items. You know, there's no baby bibs and things like that that like they used to have. So we were saying maybe it's time to get the Kevin and Bean merchandise going. But I don't think that's the kind of chocolate bar we had in mind. No.
My girlfriend called back.
I was fired from my job by Linda May because of my religion. Mm. I had just been promoted, and she told me to drop something off at the accountant's office and then go home,
okay,
which I did. As soon as I got home, I remembered that I forgot to tell her that the next day was Rosh Hashanah.
Oh.
I called to tell her, and she said, "Don't bother coming back."
So that happened.
Wow.
Okay.
That's rough.
It's kind of like the easy man to love. It's kind of like the easy man to love again. It's kind of like the easy man to love again.
Big Foo Fighter fan, I'm sure.
Oh, I forgot. It's kind of like the easy man to love again. It's kind of like the easy man to love again. Did we all get that? I hate the Foo Fighters.
Oh, how dare you? You're on your own, sir. Foo Fighters are the best. So is this woman.
I have absolutely no affiliation with Chabad. Take it up with Jerry Weintraub.
Why is she calling to tell us all these things?
They're important, Bean.
But why is she calling us?
If you
Shouldn't
have
she
to
be
ask,
talking to her therapist about it instead?
I don't think she's... See, you're trying to apply logic to a crazy person. Bean brought in highlights of the two-headed woman.
Oh, yeah.
On TLC.
So the show about the conjoined twins is on Tuesday? Come on, Bean. How did you miss that? TLC, you assholes.
On Tuesday. See, two.
Trick Tuesday.
That was okay. his
look, that's the least of the problems with that show on the Freak Show Network. Come on.
I love this woman.
Actually, Chabad is pimping them. We have herpied one Chabad rabbi. Okay. I doubt, you know, the herping will go back to the prostitutes, you know, unless they don't do their job.
It's a good point. I'm glad
what
she
is
pointed
happening?
That. I love her so much.
The herping.
I don't know, Bina. For some reason, she has a lot to share, and our Afro line is where she wants to share it. So I think it's important to get the message out.
Sure.
Way too early for this.
Holly spooks outside my window.
There it is. Nope.
I think it's time that you play Halloween Spooks.
Nope.
Right now.
Nope.
Play it.
Nope.
Like, play it right now.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
You should play Halloween Spooks.
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Woo!
Nope. Nope.
Play it.
Nope.
Look, once it's past Labor Day, we're already into the holidays.
Nope.
And I did see my first commercial yesterday. I think it was on the Disney Channel for Monstober.
Monstober.
For Monstober. They're already starting to promote their Monstober programming. I'm not joking because they got all sorts of new shows.
Well, let's wait for Monstober to play that song, if you don't mind. And then here's a parody of that song.
Fire beer mug. Unemployment things are gonna happen.
And finally, a request for a song that I had completely forgotten about. And I'm so happy that this guy called.
Bring back Gunther. I want to hear that Gunther.
Oh, you touched my ta-la-la.
Wow.
Remember this hit?
My ding-ding-dong.
It's been a while.
Sing it if you know it. Well, there's no words.
What year did we play Gunther? What year did we have him on?
I don't know. 10 years ago?
It's been a long time.
You touch my ta-la-la.
This is a song. Sort of.
Doesn't really sound that much different than the songs that come out today, though, does it?
No, it's true. Think No Doubt's turning around right now? 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. This song is going to be in everybody's head today, and they're not going to know any of the lyrics. I love that.
All week on K-Rock.
With a trip to Paris to see Florence and the Machine.
Fly standby all week and get a passport to see Florence and the Machine. October 7th or 8th at the Hollywood. Run fast for your mother,
run fast for your father. Hear the boarding call next Monday with Kevin and Bean. And you're off to Paris.
With four nights hotel.
Concert tickets.
And $500 each.
On K-Rock to win.
Hi, this is Florence from Florence the Machine, and you are listening to the world famous K.
No Doubt, in about 25 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and looking ahead toward next Monday, by the way, we're doing the grand prize drawing of a trip to Paris, France, to see Florence and the Machine. How about that?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Florence in Paris. You can qualify by winning tickets to see the band when they come to the Hollywood Bowl in October. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then you're in the grand prize drawing as well.
I don't know if you saw the story out of Russia, but they are now editing cartoons because they're not safe for children. They have a new law on the protection of children from information harmful to their health and development.
They are wordy people, aren't they?
They sure are. They sure have a lot of words.
The Russians were big into protecting their citizens from anything.
Well, they are, apparently. Because, for example, with The Simpsons, they're going to have to edit out every single Itchy and Scratchy.
Itchy and Scratchy is my favorite part.
Yeah. Nope. Not in Russia. They're going to have to edit that out. They're going to have to edit a bunch of South Park. They're very concerned that these shows are going to damage the children in Russia.
And a lot of these cartoons, by the way, which you think they put on for children, they're actually putting them on in the middle of the night because they think they're too dangerous to be on during the day.
Right.
So, like, what kids are going to be up watching The Simpsons or South Park at midnight, for instance? I don't know what the hell is going on over there in Russia, but we wanted to find out more, so we asked producer Dave, could he line us up somebody? And sure enough, the Russian cultural minister, Boris Pavlenko, joins us on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Boris. Welcome to the program, sir.
Kevin and Bean, how are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
We appreciate very much you coming on. We don't understand these new rules that we're reading about as they affect children's programming on TV channel 2x2.
Well, it's not just children's programming. This is a law. It's for all television.
Okay.
For not having information harmful to development of health of children So all the programming now we get, especially from you're in the United States, must now be held to stricter standards for what we're putting on television.
The ones that caught our eye, of course, The Simpsons and South Park.
Yes, everyone talking about cartoons because they believe they are not dangerous.
Right.
But they are dangerous. And also for shows like Pretty Woman Movie and Romeo Juliet, many of your television programs now will be edited or banned in this country.
What's wrong with Pretty Woman?
She's a whore.
Well, but it ends
well.
She's
always been a whore, though.
So the children learn if you become prostitute, you can marry millionaire. It's not a lesson we wish to be teaching children.
I see.
Right, but I don't look.
We have enough prostitutes as it is, and then for them to be thinking that they are going to meet Richard Gere and live happily ever after is a mistake.
Well, first of all, you can't have too many prostitutes, Boris. But second of all, that movie has been out for 20-something years. No one ever watches it and says, hey, I think I'm going to become a hooker so I can marry a rich dude.
Well, we would simply beg to differ. You flush your country your way, we flush our country our way.
Okay, let me just say one more note on the cartoons, though, and that is Kenny doesn't really die. You understand that every episode of South Park where they kill Kenny, he's back in the next episode, so it's not like the kids are traumatized by an actual murder. It's
no,
just
it's
a gag.
That is a good lesson to teach children. If you kill somebody, they come back. That's a good point. Excellent point to have for children learning that death is not permanent.
It's
are
just
you
a gag.
Are you even more screwed up than we thought you were when sending
on
the programs over here? Many of American programs will now be either banned or
like what?
Seriously edited. Wipeout, for instance, your show Wipeout.
What's wrong with Wipeout?
First of all, there's a wall that punches you.
Right.
The punching wall.
Right.
We don't like.
Well, but,
don't like a wall that punches your face.
Right, nobody does, but it's fun to watch somebody else get punched by a wall.
And you have big balls.
Yeah.
They have really big balls.
Yes, and we are not for teaching children big balls are good. Because after Chernobyl, many people have big balls.
I see.
And it's a problem here in this country.
Oh,
the
a little
balls
sensitive.
Are too big.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
We
also allow that.
Be stopping your storage wars.
Storage wars?
With no more war for children. It's not the right for them to see war on television.
It's not a real kind of war. It isn't a real war.
What? Not war?
Storage wars is not a real war.
Why
no.
do you say it's storage wars then?
I'm not positive, but I know
what is the show? I heard the government breaks into people's belongings and it sells them.
No.
Well, yeah, people don't pay. What happens is people stop paying on their storage units and then they are sent to auction so that other citizens can buy them.
So Americans own so many things, they have to take some of their things and put them in separate place, not even their homes, because they have
right.
so many things.
Well, yeah. That's exactly right, yes.
Oh, you people are effed up.
Hey! 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
No doubt, next on K-Rock, joining us in studio at 7 o'clock. Ralph, you're here every hour with the show. How can you never bring us any good stories about that band right there, Green Day?
I have a Green Day story.
Yeah!
Wow. He could have brought that up without being set up, Bean.
No, there's no way I could have gotten to that. There's no way I could have sent in the audio and then prepared the story and come in and handle that on my own. Without being there, spoon-feeding me, there's no way we would have gotten to that story. Never would have happened.
Seamlessly transitioned. Come on.
Wow. Anything about Green Day in your
I had a long weekend. I started to feel a little better about myself, about my life, about my job. I started to get, okay, I feel a little lighter, came into the studio, said, new attitude, I'm going to, new upbeat.
Right.
And then I get that. Then that happens.
Anything
hey, what's going,
going
on at
on
the end of the table there? What's
the
going on with Omar?
Beat with Green Day?
Yes. In fact, there is. Bean.
What?
Green Day had to cancel a show on Sunday in Bologna, Italy. You know, that's where bologna comes from.
Okay.
Just thought you might want to know.
Okay. All right.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-T-A-I. Apparently, Billy Joe Armstrong was rushed to the hospital.
Oh,
now,
really?
There's no word on what made him sick or how he's doing. But Mike and Trey, as you can imagine, felt awful canceling the show in Bologna, Italy on Sunday. And so they went the extra yard and posted a video message to all their fans there in Italy for the cancellation. Here's what they had to say.
Hi, this is Mike and Trey from Green Day. Obviously, we apologize profusely. You know, this is really unfortunate, but due to Billy, you know, Billy got rushed to the hospital last night. due to illness. The doctors don't think it's a good idea for him to play today. This sucks. We really, really were looking forward to playing in Bologna as the highlight of our tour.
We're beyond devastated. We're as sad as you guys are. Billy is extremely upset about it, and we'll see you very soon.
They said they'll come back next summer. So just got to wait an hour, a year.
Just a year.
And then they'll be back there, Italy. So what's the matter, you?
what's wrong with Billy Armstrong?
I don't think they're beyond devastated, by the way.
Beyond devastated?
Yeah, I don't think they're beyond devastated.
I don't think so.
I doubt they're even devastated.
Little exaggeration there. It's just one show to them.
They're kind of bummed, but I doubt they're beyond devastated.
What is wrong with Billy Joe Armstrong?
I don't know.
Because that's really the important part of this
Wouldn't
story.
Wouldn't he tell you if he knew?
Wouldn't that why be was in he, the lead story if I had any information on why he's in the hospital or how he's doing?
Ralph actually said there's no information on
Kevin, I think you have a point. I think I made a point of saying no word on what made him sick or how he's doing, I believe, was in the first sentence of the story.
I'm just asking.
Open up a blog.
Your question was answered before you asked it. No need to ask that question.
Do we know what the problem was with Mr. Armstrong?
Wow.
Any information on what happened to Billy Joe? Oh, I'm getting played off by Keyboard Cat. Oh, that hurts.
Keyboard Cat's doing the right thing.
Mike Clark Duncan passed away. He had a heart attack on July the 13th. He was in the hospital ever since. His fiancée, Omarosa Manigault, from the, I guess she was made famous on The Apprentice with Donald Trump. She was visiting, apparently, in the hospital, left his room briefly, and when she returned, they reported he had passed. So, sad news, just 54 years old, that he must have had a serious heart condition for him not to recover after that initial heart attack. But,
yeah, that young.
Happens with big guys sometimes. Guys who are oversized like that, the heart takes a beat and just keeping that body going. So, it's really sad news. And in better news, Sun Myung-moon is dead. Remember Sun Myung-moon?
Sort of. Who?
He was leader of the Moonies.
He did that weird mass wedding.
He used to do those mass weddings all the time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, leader of the Moonies, Sun Myung-moon, has passed away. So that's good news. He was 92, though. That's a long run for a twisted, evil bastard like Sun Myung-moon. And Hal David, legendary songwriter, also passed away over the weekend. He was 91 years old. Just an amazing string of hit songs, mostly with his partner, composer Burt Bacharach. They worked together, but tremendous amount of hits, a great songwriter. So that's sad news. More music news. This Michael Jackson story just will not go away.
It is crazy.
They're still talking about what his condition was leading up to the days before his death when he was working on the This Is It tour. AEG's head honcho Randy Phillips described Michael during the days leading up to his death as drunk and despondent. I didn't know he was drunk while he was rehearsing.
Well, I don't think maybe he knew what the problem was, but he was acting drunk, I guess.
An emotionally paralyzed mess, he also is quoted as calling him. In other emails, Lloyd's of London, which insured the tour, was asking for 5 years of Michael's medical records. His personal doctor, of course, Dr. Conrad Murray, refused to provide them with those documents. This is just an hour before Michael died when he turned them down.
Wow.
Those emails will be a big part of two lawsuits surrounding Michael's death, so that story continues. Another sudden death in the music industry. Starship, remember that band? I guess they started off as Jefferson Airplane, then they became Jefferson Starship, then they became just Starship.
Yeah.
Their lead guitarist, Mike Abrahamian, passed away Sunday night after a concert in Norfolk, Nebraska. He was just 46 years old.
Dude.
Sudden heart attack took him. The band was opening for, oddly enough, Survivor. I'm not kidding. Just saying. That's an ironic lineup. That's all I'm saying. Also in the lineup was Boston. However, they died in Norfolk, Nebraska, so there's no real tie in there. Hence, I didn't really add them to the list.
Right.
One Direction will be allowed to keep its name, thank God. There was a lawsuit from an unknown U.S. punk rock band, also called One Direction. They claimed they had the group name first, and they said, that's our name, you took it, you owe us a lot of money, or we're going to sue you and stop it and change your name. Well, they've reached a compromise. The punk rock band is changing their name. So it's not much of a compromise, really. They just backed off.
All right, we'll change.
But they,
But they got a big payoff, I'm sure, right?
It does not say here what money was exchanged, but I do believe they got some compensation, yes.
How did Simon Cowell allow One Direction to choose that name when there was already another band that had records out, including on iTunes, a couple years before?
Yeah. Someone really dropped the ball here.
Yeah, it sounds like a real rookie mistake for a guy like Cowell.
The rock band, who did receive an undisclosed settlement, is changing their name to Uncharted Shores. Worst name ever.
Come on.
Seriously.
Really?
And this is the last you will ever hear of Uncharted Shores. I guarantee it's the last time we'll ever mention the band's name, Uncharted Shores. Yep. I guarantee it.
We never would have heard of One Direction if another band hadn't come along and taken that name.
They better hope that someone in the UK starts a boy band called Uncharted Shores, or else we will never hear from them again. And congratulations to Sir Paul McCartney. Just adding another accolade to his legendary career in life.
Now what?
Apparently French President François Hollande will decorate him with the Legion of Honor Award. That is the uppermost award you can get in France for public figures, and so a special ceremony will be held on September the 8th in Paris. Congratulations to Sir Paul. Wouldn't it be funny if we called the President of France, François Hollande, and I pretend to be Paul McCartney and try to get him on the phone?
That would be funny.
Tell him he's turning down the award.
Let's do it.
He's not interested.
I'm in. Let's do it.
Oh, this is Paul McCartney. Yes, I'm really not interested in your award. I'd like you to take it and stuff it up your ass.
What could go wrong?
Wrong if we did that? I'm just asking. Wouldn't that be funny? And what could go wrong?
Nothing.
And I think our attorneys would support that.
Agreed.
Decision, don't you?
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Her name is Whitney Cummings.
Yes.
She's a comedian and actress, and she's on that TV show Whitney. She is 30 years old today. Beyonce is 31 years old. Max Greenfield from New Girl celebrates his 33rd birthday. Actor Wes Bentley celebrates his 34th. Damon Wayans of the acting Wayans family is 52 years old. And our very own Dr. Drew Pinsky celebrates his 54th birthday today. Never has there been more handsome, more virile, more vital 54-year-old in your life. How does he do it? Cocaine, people.
No, it's not. That is a false charge.
He works all those hours. He's a doctor. Yeah. He's a radio host.
Right.
He has 14, 15 TV shows on the air.
Right.
Where does he find the energy? One word. Cocaine.
That's just not true.
It's absolutely
Kevin, what do you think happens to all the drugs they confiscate for the people coming to the rehab house?
All right.
Right up Dr. Drew's nose.
We got to go through your luggage. I need your cell phones and all the cocaine you have, please. And then he goes in the office. You don't see him for hours, and he comes out all wild-eyed and airtight.
Never seen that. He's airtight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Oh, boy. Never seen a guy more airtight.
How dare you?
How many lies do I tell before we get a phone call this morning? I'm just going to say, not from Drew, but from his wife.
Sure.
I think that Susan will be calling sometime.
Yeah.
So. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Gentlemen, I never thought I'd see this day for the first time since the Kennedy administration. In one room together, it's No Doubt at the world-famous K-Rock.
Woo-hoo!
Seriously, is this a fever dream or are you guys real? And how do you still look so young?
Aw. That's so sweet.
Welcome, everybody.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
We caught up with Tony a little bit on the phone not too long ago. Adrian, how you doing?
Hello. Nice to see you guys.
Thank you for wearing pants. Great to see you. Tom, what up?
What up?
Hi, Miss Gwen.
Hi. I brought you cookies again.
What?
They're still warm.
Wait.
What?
Let me see them.
They're in the Tupperware.
Oh, because Bean loves cookies so much, this is going to be such a burn.
It is a burn. We still tell people about the early days, and I know we got a lot of new stuff to talk about with the new record coming out, Push and Shove, September 25th. We will get to it, I promise. But we still tell people about the early days of you guys manning the phones, calling K-Rock, requesting Just a Girl when it was first out, right?
Yep.
And I think the first time you ever came in on our show, Gwen, you baked us some chocolate chip cookies.
She baked us cookies. That time.
Yeah,
and she brought them in, and they were very tasty, as they are this time as well.
Hey, what do you have people to do baking now, or do you still do your own?
Yeah, Kingston and Zuma. So,
oh, nice.
I don't know how clean their fingers were when they were... No, just kidding.
You know, we talk about the early days. What if these are the early days? Like, what if we're still together 20 years from now and we look back and we go, do you remember the early days?
Remember 2012 when we were just babies?
Yeah, when we came in and we were making cookies still.
You're going to be the Stones then. You're going to be the Rolling Stones at that point.
Yeah, four shows in 1 year.
I want to ask the rest of you guys. We asked Tony this last week, but how nice is it to finally have an answer for when is the album coming out? Because everybody was asking that for 11 years.
It feels good, but it also, it was, I enjoyed making the record. It wasn't until the very end that I was like, okay, I'm over this. Let's go. Let's do this, you know. But it was a fun process, you know. It was really torturous, but it's like all about being in the moment because it doesn't really matter which part of the cycle you're on. Like you're talking about it, you're performing it, you're writing it. It's all so fun in its own way. So
explain torturous. What did you mean by that?
Just songwriting process is always hard. It's like you never know when it's going to happen. And, you know, so many days that we would go in there and we would just sit there and nothing would be happening. And it was just, you know, you're thinking, oh, I left the kids to go do this. I'm wasting everyone's time. It's like, ah, this is just like. You did, it's really frustrating when it doesn't happen.
These cookies are good, by the way.
All right, I got it. You have cookies and I don't. Understood. You know, I think every songwriter goes through that where, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'll just ask you, are there times where you go, wow, maybe we're out. Maybe we don't have any more songs and it's never going to happen again. Do you fear the inspiration has left you?
I definitely felt like that. I mean, for real. Tony was more positive. But it's just really weird because you never know. It's such a magical thing when it happens. And the whole thing is knowing when something's good or not. And when you don't have that ability, that's when you feel like hopeless. You're like, oh, no, I can't tell. I don't know.
So there was stuff like that on this one?
Just when we were getting started because it was such, you know, it was such a crazy ramp up when I had had the babies and went on those other tours that I had gone on. I got home, and the month I got home, basically I got pregnant with Zuma when we were starting this record. Mm-hmm. So to try to write a record after the tour, I had done 100 shows and try to be pregnant, it just wasn't happening. And I was like feeling so bad about it because I wanted to get going.
Right.
And then after I had the baby, I was like, oh, let's try again. It wasn't working. So on a whim, we just said, let's just go on tour.
When you went on the summer tour and 2009?
Yeah. And it was amazing. It was probably, it was definitely my favorite tour I've ever been on. It was so great. It was just.
Why?
So I was so inspiring and spontaneous. And I don't even think we thought, like, will anyone show up? We just said, let's go on tour and get inspired. And there was so many people there. And it really calmed me down. Like, it was like, okay, let's get in the moment here. We don't have to rush. Let's just, these people are waiting. And we have written all these songs. Like, you're singing songs that you wrote through your life, documenting your life, and they're singing them back to you. And then my kids are, like, on the side of the stage. And it was just, like, it was very, it was, like, very teary, like, in the moment, like, just feeling so blessed. You know what I mean?
Did it feel good to have, to get that response of, yes, we still care from the fans?
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It was amazing.
And that's not true of every band that goes away for a few years, you know. They come back and maybe people have moved on. But, man, your fans around the world seem to be pretty committed, pretty diehard, which is, you know, such a compliment.
You do have the best fans.
Tony, you mentioned when we had you on recently about how many kids did you say there are from the band now?
30.
If you include Gabriel, who has been our keyboard player for 20 years now, we have 9 kids among us.
Wow.
A lot of kids.
You're like, know about birth control, right?
We're not done. We got more coming.
Not done. Okay, good. Now, are all the kids coming on the road with you?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a traveling circus.
That's going to be a nightmare for other people. I
mean, you know, in 09, I think there were 5, but we're going to almost double that. But they're not big kids. The ages are between 10 and 1, and there are 9 of them. So that's going to be, it's going to be gnarly, but in a fun way.
So you're going to be on stage, and then one of you will have to run off and take care of their kid and then come back on stage?
Oh, gosh. Hopefully they'll be asleep by that point. Let's pray.
I was thinking the biggest difference between back then and now is when we would say, like, I'm dropping the kids off at the pool.
Right.
That's very different. That's
completely different. Now you're actually literally dropping the kids off at the pool so they can go swimming.
It could be both.
What a blessing, though, to have time off at that age of your kids, though, to be able to spend that time with them, to be with them when they're real young, though. A lot of people don't have that luxury in their job. So that's an A-plus right there.
Well put.
The older ones that are, you know, 6, 7, 8, they know what mommy and daddy do for a living. What do they think of the kind of music you make? Is it something that they're into, or are they like most kids are? They're, you know, yelling at their parents for listening to crappy stuff because over here what I got is good.
I had to explain, because every day is a negotiation about how I'm going to leave the house, because they want you so bad and they need you so bad. So it's this whole guilt thing. So I had to explain to Kingston this morning that, okay, you know how you hear the songs on the radio, or sometimes you have to go to the station and bake cookies and get like, I'm trying to explain to him why I had to leave. And, you know, they definitely have an opinion about the songs, if they think they're good or not, and they're really into it, and they really know music, and they really, really know if it's a hit. Like, that's what's amazing about kids. Yeah,
you can't tell that, but they can.
I feel like children, like, they just pick up on songs that are big, and it's the weirdest thing, because you're like, how do you know that song? And then everybody at the preschool knows it. They're like, they're three. Like, how do they know that? But they do.
Let me ask the guys, have you introduced the kids to, you know, reggae, ska, punk, whatever you're into, to get them to start expanding their minds early?
Yeah, I think we all have. And I have the eldest, the 10-year-old boy, who's got big opinions about music, because he's playing guitar and piano. And
does he take off his pants and run around like you?
Yeah, he does. I think he got that from his mom.
I'm guessing not.
But even early on, he was always telling me, Dad, that push and shove song, that's the song.
Oh, really?
And then when I told him, hey, but they're going to play it on the radio, he goes, well, duh, I told you already a long time ago.
That's awesome. No Doubt is here on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the World Famous Herrick. We have so much ground to cover about the new record, which again comes out on September the 25th. We'll talk about some of the tour plans, talk about some of the upcoming TV appearances, and so much more with the band that we love so much here at K-Rock. We'll be right back.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Now, I'm going to play you some music just to make you forget all your troubles.
K-Rock.
And speaking of that band right there, No Doubt, they're in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. So great to see all of you guys. We still can't believe it's real. We still can't believe that there's a date that we can promote now, September the 25th, for Push and Shove. Relatively easy record to make compared to some of the other ones.
You know what? They have all had struggles. I think Rocksteady was the only record that was really relaxed and fun and lighthearted. This was hard in a whole different way, just because of our schedules, I think. And, you know, we could only really get together like 3 days a week.
For an hour and a half in the afternoon.
Literally, that's as much. I mean, really, it was like an hour of anything really happening. Before that, it was like talking and eating and getting into the vibe. And then, you know, at around 9:05 for about a half hour, something might happen. So it was a really slow, slow process. But I really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
How many songs did you write?
As many of them are on the record.
11.
There's no extras. There is no, because there was no, we were really focused. We were like, I was coming off of like being up all night with the kids, mm-hmm. and then doing my thing in the day, and then getting in the studio around 4, and then doing what I just talked about, you know, wasting time. And then, you know, when we would have something that we liked, we would just focus on it. We were like, let's cut to the chase. There's no time for any like anything but greatness. So it was really, we all had the same ideas of what kind of record we wanted to make, which was just like a really addictive record, you know, something that was really catchy and really like you want to listen over and over again. And we didn't know it was going to be so upbeat. We didn't know what it would end up being like sounding like, you know.
There's one ballad, right? Is that my understanding? Is there just one slow song?
I feel like there's one real ballad, but then there's a couple other ones that you could consider like more, I don't know, One More Summer is not really a ballad. It's like a rock, but it has a feeling of that a little bit. And then,
right.
What do you call Gravity? That's like kind of, I don't
know. Theory. I call it a theory. I'm not sure it's true.
It's not really a ballad. It's hard to categorize them, you know?
Well, when you guys make a song, it's a No Doubt song. Whatever it is that you put your musicians in a room together and come out with a song, it's a No Doubt song. But I was curious, because so many years had passed since you'd done a full record, if any modern influences, have you fallen in love with dubstep or something like that in the last 5 years and felt like you needed to incorporate what was actually happening in 2012? Or was it really still, hey, we're still influenced by the same stuff we always have been?
This is Tom. I think the idea on this album, one of the ideas was to have it be modern and have it sound contemporary, but at the same time being true to what No Doubt sounds like and all of our influences. And I think that's the hardest thing to do, is to somehow have a foot in both worlds. And I think we did that.
Yeah, I think the way it happened was probably because of the modern world, you know, the way that we recorded it, where we did the demos and we were being really like skeletal about it. Like we just wanted to get the song down. There was no production to it. And then we would get in with the band and start playing it. And then once we got that going, we would kind of hand it over to a remixer and see what they could add to it. So it was this whole process of like, it went through this whole kind of grind to get where it was. And that kind of made it modern, I think, because you couldn't really do that before.
Do you take into account performing it when you're building it like that?
A little bit. We all right now we're figuring out how to perform it. That's the another fun part of the whole process. And it's you can always find a way to perform it, I think, you know, and especially nowadays, you know, they have so many tricks and things you could do. But I think we know that when something's going to be great live, like a song like Push and Shove, we were doing that song. We're like, oh, my God, live. This is going to be sick. I can't wait, you know.
We're going to play that one coming up next year. This is No Doubt in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Push and Shove is the title track from the album that is coming out on September the 25th. And that's the song we're going to be playing next, which is your newest single that just came out. Busy Signal is a guest star on this, who I guess is super famous as a dancehall rapper. Did you guys ever feel bad that you didn't have awesome names like Busy Signal? Because that's pretty dope, right?
Tom's got a cool name that sometimes we refer to as the douche.
Yeah, we don't have to
the
talk
douche,
about
that. That's nice. That's really nice.
I think that's a super awesome name.
That's only when I drink rum.
I think Douchey Signal is actually good.
Douchey Signal? This song sort of sounds a little like two different songs.
Yeah, that's true. I think so.
Was that the intent?
Well, I think that's probably because it was a collaboration, and we wanted to do something with Major Lazer, and they sent over a track that we thought was an incredible track, and then we wrote a chorus to it. And it was one of those songs where we said, this is going to be the place on the record where we're not going to have any rules. We're just going to do whatever feels good and not try to be commercial, not try to be anything, just be, like, wild, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of has that way about it, you know what I mean? It's definitely not a traditional chorus where
it's a tough line to walk, I would think, mixing the two. It's almost like two different styles of music in the same song.
In a way, it's not, because in the old days, we would do this often, where we would play kind of a ska or a faster verse and then go and then cut into a really rock open half tempo chorus. In the old days, we did it, so it wasn't like that big of a stretch for us.
Right. You mentioned the tour, and when we talked to Tony recently, he said it's going to be a big tour, right? Is there any more details you can share with us about where and when and how that's all going to come down?
I'll revise that. It's going to be a bigger tour.
Bigger. Okay. What does that mean?
That's the most... No, I think it's going to be...
Everybody's looking at each other like, we don't know.
What are you talking about?
we don't have any details.
No more details to announce yet, but we will.
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, you put out a record and you go, well, we're just going to do 8 dates or whatever it is, or 10 dates, and then sometimes you go, we're going to conquer the world and go out there for 2 years, and it sounded like this was going to be a bigger tour than maybe some.
I think that we are trying to, like, kind of do it slowly, like, live in the moment. Like, I want to get through first grade. Like, that's going to be awesome to get through first grade.
Right.
And then maybe next summer.
You're still taking first grade?
Well, I got other midgets.
Oh,
that,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So we're thinking about that. And I think next summer we were thinking the goal, the dream, would be able to play as many shows as we can, you know? And I think we would love to go international and do stuff that we haven't done in a long time and go places that we've never played.
Is that a much more difficult thought now that you have all the kids?
It is, because you have to think about school like how we're going to schedule it, and if we're going to really take them out, or how we're going to do it in the summer or whatever. So, but we've had lots of discussions about it, and we're kind of working our way towards that goal of dream of doing that. But I think we also just want to like enjoy this moment of sharing the music after kind of hoarding it all this time. Like no one's heard the music.
Yeah.
You know, we had to be so secretive about it, and to be able to finally have people hear it, it's the greatest feeling.
No Doubt is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Push and Shove is the album that we're talking about, coming out on September the 25th. First new No Doubt album since 2001, and the title song has been all over K-Rock, and we're going to play it next and come back more with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Rated R for Pirates.
The world-famous K-Rock.
And No Doubt is here on the world-famous K-Rock. Gwen, Tony, Adrian, Tom.
Yes.
Hello.
Applauded for themselves. I like that very much.
Gwen started the standing O.
Again, September 25th is the date that that's going to be available. I know what I wanted to ask you guys. You were all at the party with the First Lady, with Michelle Obama. Where was that? That was at your house, Gwen, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the whole band, you guys were all there?
Yep.
We were all there, yeah.
Tell me what that is like.
You know what? I think the leading up to it was even kind of more exciting with all, like, the Secret Service coming and, like, scouting the house and the neighborhood. And
do you have to hide stuff? Like, I don't want the Secret Service to find this. I don't want them to see this.
No. No, of course
I would.
Not.
Okay. So, yes?
But no. But it was good. It was like they did everything. We just, you know, we got there and they built this whole party in our backyard. And, I mean, the kids were more worried about it. They were like, people are going to come in our house and they're going to go on my playground and da-da-da-da-da. And they didn't understand, like, how, you know, it was a really good thing to do. But it was really fun. And she was just so gracious and so smart and so inspiring.
I always wonder what people like that are going to be like in person.
Well, I think that they rise to the top for a reason because they're very sparkly. And she just was like, there was this thing where you could pay to like have a picture with her, right? That was one of the package deal things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was probably 400 people there. And she literally stood in 103 degrees and went around to every single person and said hi. And it was like, and even afterward when she had to sign some autographs, which we all know what it's like to have to do that. Like, oh, you got to say anything. You know, sometimes it can get like, oh, man, you know. She sat there and she's like, actually, I think this one should have a silver pin. Does anyone have a silver pin?
Wow.
She was so into it and so patient.
Meanwhile, it's midnight and your kids are going, come on now, let's get these people out of here.
No, she did it. She had a real tight schedule and she went to do another charity event right after that. So
wow.
It was cool.
Besides the First Lady, who was the other celebrity that was at the party that you can't believe was in your house?
Oh.
There was quite a guest list. I don't have it in front of you. It seemed to me like there were a lot of pretty, pretty interesting people in that party list.
You know, I don't know. Who was there? I didn't really recognize that many people, to be honest.
Really?
I was like, who are these people?
We've got to get Gwen a TV. Apparently she's not keeping up with the Jersey Shore. What's going on here?
No, it was a lot of people, and there was a lot of stuff to do. Like, I actually had to do a speech, which it wasn't really a speech, but I had to introduce her, and that's really not up my alley. So I was kind of sitting in the back trying to, like, make sure I didn't screw it up. Yeah.
Gwen rose to the occasion.
Aw,
she did
thank
incredible.
You. It was hard.
It was amazing to watch her, watching our friend, who we've played in the band for so many years with, introducing the First Lady at her house. It was quite a moment. The whole thing's surreal. It was really,
it doesn't even seem like it happened, really.
It was cool.
I saw an interview with one of you guys recently. I'm sorry, I don't remember who was making a mention of the first 8 years that No Doubt was together when you never got played on the radio. And it must be funny to think about those times now. I bet you guys have a lot of good memories of the early, early days of the band. How often does stuff like that come up? I mean, are there stories that you guys still talk about? Is there a moment or a tour or something that you guys still can't believe you survived and still can laugh about all these years later?
There's so many of those. There's so many versions of the band. Like, when you think about, like, all the stages we've been through, and I don't know what I like more, the first 9 years or the later. You know what I mean? Like, the commercial success is incredible in a whole different way, but just being in Anaheim and being this, we were always this kind of big fish in this small pond.
Right.
So from the very beginning, we were able to play these incredible shows. We had an amazing audience you know, we had to fight so hard to try to actually make a record. That was what was hard, because we didn't have the money, you know? We couldn't just go and make a demo. Like,
right.
You know, I had to borrow $5 from my dad to go rent a microphone so I could just rehearse, you know? So it was a lot of fun back in those days, the Beacon Street House.
But it's also so neat that you guys were so young, and all these years later, not that you're not still young, but you're all adults now with your own families, and you all still seem to be of one mind and still get along and kind of have the same goals. I mean, you kind of grown up together, and nobody has gone off and gotten weird. I mean, Adrian's kind of weird, but you know what I mean.
I'll remember that. I know where you live.
I think, look, there's three other people in my life who've had the same experiences that I've had, and we've gone from being a band that played in the garage together to being a band that traveled the world together to now being a band that's raising our kids together. And I think we've experienced everything in between, and that's, you know, we've gone through a lot of crazy stuff together, you know, breakups and band member, a very important band member, leaving, and you know, struggles with the record company, and so many things. And I think we've gotten through all that stuff, and it's only made us stronger. And we really appreciate the moment that we're in right now. As Gwen said, we're trying to enjoy every moment. Yes, we're going to tour. Yes, we're going to do this and that. But right now, it's all about like, okay, we finished this record. Let's enjoy this moment. And I think we're really fortunate. We don't take it for granted.
So you haven't given much thought to stage show and all that stuff till next year.
No.
You're going to play for the NFL kickoff. Is that weird to play one song or difficult?
We're actually going to do like 6 or 7 songs.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah, for the audience that's there, and then they'll do Settle Down for the live performance. But it's really fun. It's fun to be able to learn these songs live and to play. I mean, for us, I think that we're the most comfortable when we're on stage playing
right.
live. That's where we feel like we've been doing it so long. There's such a chemistry, and it's so fun. Like, it's like you get to, I don't know, it's like a crazy energy that you get. And to do that on TV is always makes you nervous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I love that crazy
You love
nervous
that it makes
feeling.
You nervous. Yeah,
yeah, because it's exciting. It's like you could totally mess up.
That's one way to look at
it. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
It's going to be
I'm going to dwell
awesome,
on that.
An awesome TV appearance. Again, that's going to be tomorrow night on NBC, the NFL kickoff game. As long as you're not rooting for the Cowboys, we approve of this appearance, okay? Because that would be too much. We couldn't handle that if you were actually going to root for Dallas. Because they're playing against the Giants in that game. All right, we're almost out of time. We know you guys have to go. September 25th, Push and Shove's coming out. It's going to be available everywhere, I guess. Video, by the way, videos. Any word
we
on that?
We were just talking about that on the way over here. We're trying to decide exactly what the next single is going to be. As far as like, there's like all these things that happen around the world, so you have to consider like Europe, and so yeah, we're definitely going to do videos. Videos is like one of my favorite things to do, so we're talking about that right now. But yes,
fantastic.
The answer is yes.
Fantastic.
We couldn't be happier to see you guys again.
Thank you.
I mean, we go back a long ways, and we love you, and you're always family here at K-Rock, and thank you for the cookies, and good luck with the record, and let's all do this again soon, shall we?
We love you, K-Rock.
Thank you.
No
guys.
Doubt, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Bill.
A little something for everyone today, No Doubt. Spending some time with us in the past hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and funny man Rob Delaney joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. Very much looking forward to that. Hi, Ralph Garman.
How were those cookies? I didn't get a chance
Fantastic.
To have one of those cookies. Have they worked out
like
all right?
No one got a chance to have any of those cookies
next
except
thing
for
I
Kevin.
Know, the cookies never made it out of the studio. Same.
Dave, I think, came in and grabbed them.
Oh, I like cookies. Well, you know, the Democratic National Convention, Kevin. Is well underway.
Oh, so, yeah, I'm so excited.
So excited. They're partying. They're partying there in Albuquerque.
Charlotte.
I can't stand these.
So they're having a good time, and everyone's already wondering, look, the Republicans squared big with that Clint Eastwood get. Who are the Democrats going to have representing their party in terms of celebrities? Well, it looks like the first answer to that question is a younger, much better-looking celebrity than Clint Eastwood, Eva Longoria.
Oh, nice. Right.
It'll be one of 9 women scheduled to address the Democratic National Convention this week. Also lined up is...
Ryan Gosling.
No, Ryan will not be there, but Cal Penn, our buddy Cal Penn.
Oh.
Sure.
Of course, who left the TV show House to work for Barack Obama's staff at the White House, and he from Harold and Kumar, of course. He will be hosting a portion of the DNC's official gavel-to-gavel live stream coverage, and he's rumored to be speaking tonight as well. So those are just a few of the celebrities they expect to be popping up. There will be a special internet-only show Thursday night called Live from Charlotte, and interviews with celebrities including Mark Anthony, Elizabeth Banks, Aisha Tyler, Olivia Wilde, Zach Braff, Alexis Bledel, and others. So if you're looking for your celebrities and politics to get mixed, that's the way to go for you guys.
What if you're not?
Then I would say stay away from that.
Okay. I'm excited about just as I was last week. I watched
every
night last week. I watch every night this week.
You love.
It's a great reality show.
You love.
I want to see what Bill Clinton has to say.
We know you love.
Boring.
Bill Clinton won't show him a speech ahead of time, by the way. A lot of speculation on whether he's going to go off the rails.
I heard he's going to just improvise, and he's going to talk to a sofa. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Randy Jackson is officially leaving American Idol as a judge. But reportedly, he will still help out as a mentor to the contestants, which means I think he gets to bone them now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hmm. If you're the mentor, you get to bone them.
I didn't realize that's what that meant.
Can't bone them. Can't bone them as a judge. Can't bone them. More TV news. One of my favorites, Battlestar Galactica alum Trisha Helfer is returning to television.
Yes.
Yeah,
she was number six, right?
She was Caprica 6, yeah.
Yeah.
She will return to television on an episode of Community.
Oh.
Yeah.
TVLine.com says she will play a rabid science fiction fan who Danny Pudi's character meets at a convention for a fake science fiction TV show. Inspector Spacetime is the name of the show. She will be a fan of that show, and they will meet. And, yeah, there's a lot of sci-fi nerd girls who look like Trisha Helfer.
Yeah,
that's all
sure.
I'm saying. See, what they're doing there is they're playing off of her fame as a sci-fi icon in and of her own self.
Right.
Boy, celebrities are coming out and slamming the gays left and right these days.
What?
I don't know what it's all about, but first of all, you got your Hank Williams Jr. You familiar with Hank Williams Jr.?
Sure.
Bean, play a little something Hank Williams Jr. might say about, our current president, Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he might say.
That's all he had available at the moment.
It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
Yeah, that's a famous comment that lost him his Monday Night Football job.
He said if President Obama was playing with the head of the Democratic National Committee, it would be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. Anyway, he was at the Stockyards in Dallas, Texas on Sunday night. Took some time between songs to slam the president, but it also worked a nice slam against the gays, too, which I thought was nice. We've got a Muslim for the president. He started with, we've got a Muslim for a president who hates cowboys, hates cowgirls, hates fishing, hates farming, loves gays, and we hate him.
Wow.
Now let's party.
Is he sure that Obama hates cowboys or just Hank Williams Jr.?
I think he hates the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, everyone hates them.
Everyone hates them, so you can hardly blame the president for that. And then Stevie Wonder, of all people, told a UK newspaper, The Guardian, I think, honestly, some people who think they're gay, they're confused.
I think they're confused.
People can misconstrue closeness for love. People can feel connected. They bond.
Is it possible that if they say they're gay, they're gay?
I guess.
Huh.
God. Steve caused a bit of trouble with that comment. He later had to apologize, saying, clearly love is love. Between a man and a woman and a man, a woman and a woman and a man and a man. So he's covered all the bases. Yeah. What Stevie's saying is love is blind, I think, really.
Oh, wow.
And I think he's right, because it's true.
Hey, Stevie Wonder could be gay. How would he know?
I'm guessing there are other senses you could use to detect whether your partner had a penis or not.
I bet we could fool him.
All right, well, here's a little project for us to work on. Today's celebrity birthdays. Beyonce is 31 years old today. Max Greenfield.
Saw footage of her in that her husband's big festival over the weekend, that Made in America show that they did up there in Philadelphia. Boy, that looked like a great great time, didn't it? But
by all accounts, it went off without a hitch, too. Nobody got murdered or anything?
Yeah. 100,000 people or something out there?
It's impressive in Philly.
But she couldn't look any better. Like, every year she gets better looking. How is that possible?
She's a good-looking broad. Don't
get me ridiculous.
Wrong. Yeah. Pearl Jam played 25 song set, by the way, at that event.
Wow.
That's a long set. Max Greenfield of New Girl, 33 years old today. Wes Bentley's 34. Damon Wayans of the acting and Ha-Ha Wayans family is 52 years old. And our buddy Dr. Drew Pinsky celebrates his 54th birthday today. He's going to celebrate his birthdays. He does every year with a quick visit to the dog fights. He loves to watch the pit bulls fight.
That's not true at all. That's a complete lie.
He's got his own pen of rabid pit bulls that he keeps in the back.
100% lie.
Home there in Malibu, and he'll often have the dog fights there at his own house.
Not true at all.
He'll
not even a little true.
He's got a little cute little pre-game ritual he does with one of his pit bulls before he puts him in the pen to fight to the death.
He
does a line of blow right up his snout.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, sometimes he'll give the dog a bump, too. He thinks it makes him fight better.
How dare you?
Dr. Drew is 54 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Who trusts comedian Rob Delaney enough to eat one of these cupcakes that he brought in? Because I don't.
Well, Muggs does.
Because he's a comedian. Nothing would be funnier than him packing those with baby X-Lax. Well, come on, funny. You guys.
That would be funny,
let's all use our heads here. He's setting us up.
Hi, Rob Delaney.
Hi, friends.
Tell me about these cupcakes.
Oh, my friend Heather made them, who is a massive fan of the show, and I brought her in today, and they're just, they're ridiculous. I told Kevin, after you eat one of these cupcakes, you're going to rip your face off. They're so good.
And I said, is that the goal? Do I want to rip my face off?
Quite a sale.
But
job.
Rob said I could put it back on.
So. Yeah, he'll be able to put it back on.
Well, that is very sweet. I love this new trend of our guests bringing us baked goods. I think this is fantastic. But that wasn't a proper introduction, though. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Delaney is here. Come on. And today is a huge day for Rob Delaney and his fans because today is the day that his new online special, Live at the Bowery Ballroom, is available for a measly $5. That's literally the cost of a gallon of gas, and you can have an all-new hour of Rob Delaney stand-up, right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah, very excited. Yeah, I went live last night at midnight, and people are buying it and are watching it, and some of them are even enjoying it.
Now,
so
this is a new new way of presenting specials, and usually people with big names do it.
Correct, yeah. And then sometimes other, like, I'll do it. You know, anybody can do it. You can have a big name, or you can be me.
Anyone who has the internet can pretty much upload a special, right? That's where we're at now.
That is true, yeah. Yeah, no, a few other people did it, and they had success with it. And I thought, you know, the success I've had selling tickets online for my shows because of the Twitter for my live shows, I thought, well, what the hell, you know.
Give it a try.
Yeah, give it a shot. And
what was the – did you think about the cost? Did you think about more or less?
Yeah, you know, I paid for it. I produced it myself, and I wouldn't have done it. I mean, I'm dumb, but I'm not like a mouth breather. So, like, I knew, like, I was like, all right, if I can sell X amount of tickets in Philadelphia and X amount of tickets in, you know, London, then I should be able to sell enough to justify. So it was a calculated risk, and yeah, it looks like it's going to work, so I'm very grateful.
Fantastic.
It's been so interesting to see some rare, sincere tweets on your Rob Delaney Twitter account this morning, because, you know, usually you're just yucking it up.
That is a fact.
But
yep.
Today, it's almost like you are so relieved and so grateful as you're writing back fan after fan after fan. Tell me what it was like for you when it went live at midnight last night. Were you literally watching a counter online to see how it was going to do?
I would look at that periodically. My main thing, though, honestly, and anybody who's done this before can probably relate, is and that's five people on Earth now. Was
that's true.
I was more nervous about it, like, working, because even like the internet was invented 20 minutes ago. So why should people all over the world be able to watch one thing at the same time? Don't they have to get in line and then watch it individually? Like, why should that work?
Right.
So I was like, that can't work, even though I've bought specials online. So I was less nervous about who would buy it or if people would buy it than would anybody. Like, would Janine in Pittsburgh be able to get it if she wanted it? And when I found out Janine could, then I totally didn't even care what happened after that.
All right.
Yeah, that was your big fear, is all the people writing you going, hey, you a-hole,
exactly.
I can't download the special. What's wrong with you?
Why are
you
an idiot? $5, exactly. And now I got nothing.
Exactly.
Well, we had Aziz on before and after. We had Jim Gaffigan on before and after his specials, and it seemed like it was a slam dunk for both of those guys. And we obviously, Louis C.K. was the trailblazer on this, and he was hugely successful. So I don't have any doubt this is going to work. I mean, this is common enough now for people who like comedy where it's accepted, and it's not, you're not trying to sell them on a brand new idea. People know about it, and $5 is a great price. Now you got to retire that whole act, though, right?
Yeah. People are all writing me. They're going to be like, but I have tickets to see you in London in October. Is this? Yeah, don't worry, people in London, because I know a lot of people in London. This show's biggest market is London, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So, yeah, they're going to see a different show. Yeah. So,
do you have to start from scratch, though? I mean,
usually what you do, or what I do, and I think anybody else probably does it too, is you retire stuff sort of like piecemeal, you know? So you take some out, put some more in, and stuff like that.
Slowly.
Yeah, because, you know, you get, you know, it's like a rolling blackout or whatever. You know, you get tired of stuff and then take it out and put in new stuff. So
Here's a question I have for you, Rob. I know how enthralled you are, and I am too, with the presidential election process. I love this time of year. I loved the conventions last week. I'm looking forward to conventions.
Couldn't hate it more.
You are so funny on Twitter, especially about Mr. Romney. Is that something you also do in the act, or are they two separate things?
It isn't. They're totally separate. And the reason for my reasoning for that is, and it's not correct, it's just how I feel, is I don't think politics are funny enough to, like, make you throw up. Like, if you're pregnant and you go to a stand-up comedy show, you should definitely pee and maybe have your baby. But politics jokes, like my snarky, possibly not helpful at all jokes about Mitt Romney, the best you can do is go, like,
that's the goal?
Yeah, that's the biggest laugh you could have. Like, I want you to, like, I want you to throw up an organ. I want you to partial lung tissue to come out when you laugh at my stand-up. So for that, I have to be talking about saggy boobs, things that I'm afraid of, you know, my own terrible childhood, stuff like that, you know.
Circumcision.
Important stuff.
Why? What's your goal with the Mitt Romney thing? That the word gets back to him and he personally is upset or irritated or finds it funny?
My honest goal, and you can tell me to shut up because I know this isn't a political show, is I'm just a big fan of getting better health care and education for the people of the United States. And
that's crazy.
I know, right? So I like Republican human people and Democrat human people, but elected officials are bonkers. And the word Republican and Democrat don't mean anything anymore. Nor does if you self-identify as a conservative or liberal in 2012, you're bonkers because those words have just flexible. So I just want better health care and education. That's why I do that. And I think I'll allow people to connect the dots on why I go after Romney more for that. Not that Obama's a saint. Jesus, I didn't vote for him in 2008. You know, I don't drink his Kool-Aid, but health care and education, I feel like, are
does he make
things.
Kool-Aid?
He does, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He invented the that's Fat Albert. Fat Albert and the Kool-Aid guy teamed up, and they rode on Garfield back through Snoopy Town, or Peanuts, I don't know.
This is the voice of comedian Rob Delaney here on the Kevin Beard Show, talking about, among other things, his Live at the Bowery Ballroom special, brand new stand-up special, available right now for just $5 through robdelaney.com. Speaking of Fat Albert, you mentioned one of the interviews I read from you recently promoting your special. You saw Bill Cosby in concert recently.
I did.
He is in his 70s, I want to say now?
I think he's 72, I believe.
How did that hold up, and could you understand a word he said?
Okay. First of all, right when you said his name, I got like misty-eyed. He's amazing. He did 2 hours. In the 2 hours, he did 6 jokes.
Because he tells stories forever.
Because they're so amazing. So, and they all, and
they're stories, right?
Yeah. Basically what he does is it'll be like a 20-minute, you know, practically novella with all, so detail rich. And at the end of it, he'll just twist it and tie it together in a way that you can't even believe it.
So when you say he's amazing, you were being serious.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. I mean, heroic. Yeah. And I got to meet him too, which was amazing. So talking to him, met my wife and him, got to go backstage and talk to him for like 15 minutes. And, yeah.
He didn't know who you were though, did he, Rob?
He didn't, but you know what it is? We have the same representation. So he heard, because I like got tickets, and then I called my agent. I was like, I just would prefer better tickets, so I can sit right up front. apparently, like Bill Cosby was like in the office, and he was like, "What? Who wants to go see?" And so they were like, "Well, send him backstage."
Could I hear your Bill Cosby again, please?
No, send the boy, nice boy, backstage. Want to talk to him? Sit him on my knee. Oh, Theo. he talked, and he just gave me advice and stuff about, you know, how to be funny and funnier, and was just the nicest. I mean, it was the best. I could totally die tonight and I wouldn't even care. Even though
I saw him 20 years ago and he blew me away then, and it was in a huge venue, like a 20,000 seat venue, and he was incredible. And I thought, wow, this guy was the biggest comedy star in the world in the 60s, and this was in the 80s, and he was still doing it. It sounds to me like he's still just as good, which is
he's an assassin.
Pretty insane, right?
Yeah,
he's also an assassin.
Yeah, he kills people.
Wow.
Yeah, he killed a woman at our show.
I didn't know that.
He killed a very nice woman. And I was like, Bill Cosby. And he was like, no, Jell-O.
Live at the Bowery Ballroom. Buy the special for just $5 from Rob Delaney. He is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with more right after this on camera. Dear Kid Rock, Rob Delaney tweets, one of your songs is literally you talking over a recording of Sweet Home Alabama. Just thought I'd swing by and tell you that. See, that's good information for Kid Rock to get. Rob Delaney is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has over 500,000 followers on Twitter. He's one of the funniest guys we know, and he has a brand new stand-up special that is available just today online called Live at the Bowery Ballroom. Is that in New York, Rob?
Yeah, it is.
RobDelaney.com is where you want to go. It's just $5 to download. You've got an all-new special that that people can get for just $5. You talk about neck tattoos. That's one of the topics.
Oh, now,
you don't strike me as a neck tattoo guy. That's not you you're talking about, is it?
No, I don't have any neck tattoos. Yeah, no, there was just a guy. Yet. There was a guy in the front row with a big neck tattoo, and so I was talking to him. And it just, my neck tattoos make me laugh because it used to be like, if you ever saw a guy with a neck tattoo, you'd be like, oh no, I'm about to get stabbed.
Correct.
Yeah. No, you were going to die.
I might
but
die.
But now if you see one, you know that he's going to be like, may I read you a poem about my vegan bicycle? Like he's going to try to
What's
make you.
What's a vegan bicycle?
I don't know, but he'll tell you. He wrote a good poem about it. He did some watercolors. You just know, neck tattoos are for the sensitive Nancy boy market now. You know,
they don't really mean the same thing as they used
not
to.
Not at all. Mm. Yeah.
It is interesting. It used to be only the prison crowd, and
totally.
now it's everybody, right?
Now, if somebody moves into your neighborhood and you see they have a neck tattoo, you're like, oh, terrific, welcome. You can bring them muffins.
Bring your family over. We'll have dinner tonight. You also were talking about being up in Seattle, Bean's part of the country.
Oh, yes.
That was a great trip for you?
Well, by some measures. No, I felt really ill while I was up there, and I was like, this is weird the way that I feel. So I went to a doctor, and he was like,
it wasn't like the flu or
it was flu-y at first, but then I looked in a mirror and I was like, I'm yellow, and which isn't the color I usually am. Right. And so I went to the doctor and he was like, you have hepatitis A. And what had happened was I had eaten a cake. I worked on a show at MTV, as a matter of fact, and the producer brought us a cake when we wrapped. And,
a hepatitis A cake?
It was a hepatitis A cake.
Did the same friend who made those cupcakes that you brought in this morning make the cake?
Which I just ate?
I know, right? No, a different person. But what happened is everybody who ate it got – it had fruit on it that had been like irrigated with Mexican poop water. And so everybody – I don't mean like a Mexican took a dump in it. I mean like they were grown in a strawberry field in Mexico that had been irrigated with water that had duty in it. Mm-hmm. And so six of us got hepatitis. And it's a fascinating disease. Your skin turns yellow. Your pee is about 800 degrees.
Really?
Oh, my God. You don't dream for like 6 weeks. You're like the part of your brain that dreams just turns off. So you wake up and you can't – you didn't go through like the REM cycles of restfulness. So you wake up and you like run up to elderly people and be like, tell me a story. So that you can like experience the symptoms of it are so bizarre. The weakness that you feel is insane because your liver just takes a holiday.
That's what it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And, but the good news
How long are you sick when you have hepatitis A?
It was acutely sick for 3.5 weeks.
Oh my God. That is so much worse than like what you would expect from food poisoning.
I know. And the thing is, and you have to vomit. Not like from nausea, but you just feel your body filling with poison. So like every 45 minutes or so, you'll be like, hey, can you hang on a second? I'm going to go throw up. And it's not even like, I'm going to throw up. It's like, I should throw up now. And then you just throw up some poison, and then you're better
again
for
a little
while.
Then you go back and you feel fine.
It is the worst. But
I'll
the
be
good
right
thing,
back. I just have to throw up.
Yeah, is that once you get rid of it, you can't get it again. And,
ever.
They know that the antibodies that you build up last at least 25 years.
Oh, no kidding.
And so, but yeah, B and C kill you. A usually doesn't. So if you're going to get hepatitis, which you should get A.
Go with A.
Yeah, go with A. It's okay. The catalyst.
How do they cure it? Is it antibiotics or something?
No, nothing. You just sit it out.
You just live through
literally,
it.
Literally. Oh. Yeah. But you know what was cool? The coolest part about it, though, was that once you get it, the doctor is like, stay right there. And they immediately call the health department because legally they have to.
Is that right?
And this was amazing because I know I don't see the taxes taken out of my paycheck and be like, terrific. I'm glad they took that money.
Right.
This was amazing. The LA Department, County Department of Health swept in. They literally gathered us all. And it was almost like a group hypnosis where they guided all the people who'd been through it through like the past 8 weeks and figured out what we had all eaten and where. Because we didn't know why we got
weird.
It. And they like triangulated. So it was unbelievable. So the LA County Department of Health is like, I want to give them an award somehow.
Did they put you like in a dog kennel for a while so you couldn't
no,
pass
I
it
had
around?
To wear, I had to wear a shame cone. That you have dogs. But that was it.
Is it contagious when you have it?
Yeah. In the worst way.
It is in
that if somebody eats your poop, they can get it. But otherwise, no.
So most of us are safe.
Yeah, no, because it's a poop disease. So you can only get it. So typically it only spreads in the German and Japanese communities.
That seems bad.
It is.
What kind of hepatitis did Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson swap back and forth? Was it A?
I think they have the bad, the bad kind.
Why did you say that C will kill you then? Because it seems like it's been years.
It can kill.
Yeah, no. That'll be part of why they die. God bless them. I mean, I wish it wasn't. But their livers don't work well. Maybe they can get a transplant one day. But
really?
Yeah, if you have that, your lifespan is shortened.
Or what about B?
But Pam can still go on. Pam can still go on Dancing with the Stars, though, right?
As long as she doesn't poop on anybody.
Oh my God.
No, I'm just kidding. B and C, I think, goes through blood. A goes through poop. Poop. Just don't poop or bleed, or poop and bleed on people, unless you know.
Unless that's your thing.
I would never have predicted today would
me either.
Devolve into a conversation about hepatitis.
I feel terrible personally for having even brought it up.
Wow. Well,
you should.
And then how much weight did you lose in the time you were sick? Right?
That was the best part. A lot.
That's not a diet you want.
Yeah, you don't want to go that way. I kind of wish that I could have like a light hepatitis that would allow me to just lose the weight.
3.5 weeks is a long time to be sick. By the end of week two, you start thinking, I should die.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially.
I'd like to now.
Yeah, especially because the heat of your urine. I never put like a thermometer
in
my urine.
I've never heard of that before.
It was so hot, you'd be like, oh, my God, am I going to cauterize my pee hole shut? Like, it was so hot. And the weird part was all the weirdest symptoms, I'd be like, that's only me. But then I'd talk to my other hepatitis pals and they'd be like, yeah, I have that too. And I'd be like, okay.
Do you have a group online where you go and chat?
Group.
How hot's your pee? That kind of stuff.
That's how I met my wife.
That's romantic.
That unbelievable. Hot urine is a side effect.
Yeah.
This is so educational. Yeah. Wow.
I saw hot urine at the Troub last night.
Of course you did.
They're good.
They're very good.
I saw them with the Mexican poop water.
That's a double bill. We are sadly out of time. Live at the Bowery Ballroom. Rob, this is your chance to reach all of the Rob Delaney fans and Kevin and Bean listeners right now. Give them the hard sell pitch on why they need to go to robdelaney.com and put down their $5, please.
Well, part of it is what you said. It's only $5. That's nothing. You know what I mean? So you can just blast that out of your nostril, and then I'll take it. And
I don't have $5 in my nostril.
You probably do. Okay. And so it's so cheap, and I worked very hard to put it together. I produced it myself. So, yeah. Oh, for example, if you're like on Twitter or whatever, and you followed me for all these, for the 10,000 jokes I've put on there,
right,
and you wonder, how does he afford pants? I can't. I don't have pants. So you basically owe me this. And I work very hard. You see, I sweat a lot in the video, so
okay,
meaning
so you
can... I put a lot of elbow grease into each joke.
Okay.
And if the people in the audience enjoyed it, and so far everybody who's downloaded enjoyed it. So
it is
yeah.
true though, your Twitter followers have been freeloading, right? For years they've been getting the gold for nothing. It costs them zero.
Yeah, hey, but you know what? I'm glad for all the attention. And now if anybody wishes to finance any of my future shenanigans, this would be a good way to do it. And you will laugh if you get it.
Do you get hepatitis A if you download it?
You won't get hepatitis A. Okay. If you lick the screen while you're downloading it, you'll get all three hepatitis.
Is that plural?
$5, robdelaney.com is the site. Rob, you're the best, man. We really enjoyed your visit today.
Thank you
for stopping
much, guys.
By. What the hell is the Batman Live show? We'll
awesome.
Tell you all about it coming up in
That's
the 9 o'clock
is.
Hour. Also, LaQuisha takes a look at last night's all-new Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, your tickets for Florence Against the Machine playing the Hollywood Bowl, and you're qualified. You're on the standby boarding list to see the band again in Paris.
Florence is Against the Machine?
Yeah. She hates it.
She hates the machine.
They used to get along, but now
the
band is not getting
it.
Along. She's against the machine.
That really sucks.
She's about to leave. They're going to break
they have
up.
Been fighting. It's very sad. It's actually very, very sad. First, though, Ralph Garman, I know you've been looking forward to this call all weekend long.
Yes.
Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, on the phone. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, my friend?
It was good. Good morning, guys.
Morning, Harvey.
Harvey, thank you very much for joining us.
I don't know, Harvey, if you've been listening to the show last week or not.
He's usually working.
I know you're very busy.
We're in the middle of the meeting, actually. I stopped the meeting to come talk to you guys because I missed you.
Well, it's just that important that we talk to you, Harvey.
Okay, well, I'm here.
Because here's the thing. We count on you to be the serious celebrity journalist of our friends.
Right.
You know me. I'm the yuckster. I'm the jokester. I do the goofy showbiz news here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But there's a story we've been talking about last week that we think you need to get involved with because you're the real deal. And you're probably aware of it, but if you are, you haven't been giving it enough time there on the website and on your TV show.
Okay.
This is the Life Change Community Church. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
This is the church that Kim Kardashian said she's going to put her clothes up on eBay, all the stuff that Kanye West cleaned out of her wardrobe. She's going to put her clothes up on eBay, and 10% of all the sales from that are going to go to a charity called the Life Change Community Church. And so we did a little research. I said, that's nice of her to give some of the money to charity. And she said famously on Piers Morgan that she tithes 10% of her salary to this church every year. And then we did a little research. And guess who the founder of the Life Change Community Church is, Harvey?
Her mom.
Kris Jenner!
Yep.
Her mother!
Kris Jenner has her own tax dodge church.
Harvey!
Harvey!
Mel Gibson has a church.
Yeah, but he's not as shady as they are.
But Mel Gibson also has talent and does something.
Hey, listen, no matter what you say about any of the Kardashians, the one who has talent is Kris Jenner.
It's Kris. She's a talent for making money.
I mean, come on.
And shielding it.
I mean, think about that. It's easy. I mean, if you represent Oprah Winfrey, it's easy to make money.
Right.
If you're representing the Kardashians, think of what it takes and the talent it takes to create that into a business, much less an empire.
But it's a little shocking, though, that to find out that she founded the church that they give all of that money
to. For them to brag they're giving money to a church and then have it turn out to be a church that not only did she found,
How bad would you feel if you saw some poor people walking around in Kim Kardashian's sweatpants?
And by the way, let's not forget the money that Kim always brags about that she donates to the church every year, her tithing that also goes to her mom, which is just basically a way to put it in a savings account tax-free. That's all she's doing. And tell Harvey the best part about where this church is,
every
too,
Sunday,
Ralph.
The services are held at the Sheraton in Agora Hills, Harvey.
Well, listen, I went to a temple. I went to a temple that was at the Beverly Hilton.
Right. Okay. Was it started by Kris Jenner?
No, but at the end of it, the rabbi would come up and they'd have this very solemn thing when people died, you know, and you were supposed to remember it. And the rabbi says, "Remember, we validate parking."
And we get you to heaven.
This will ruin the move.
So you don't think this is a story, Harvey, or are you being paid off to protect them and not run the story? What's going on here?
Or are you past it? Did you know this?
But look.
Are you on the board of directors at the Life Change Community Church? Is some of your salary being 10% of it being set aside tax-free as well?
I'm not a cheeseburger. Stop
it. Look, 10% of the salary that the family is making is being stashed away tax-free via the sham of a church.
It's millions of dollars, though, Harvey.
How do you know it's millions of dollars?
Because Kim is making 30-something million dollars a year, and she's giving 10% of that to the church.
Well, but look, if she were Mormon and she were doing it to the Mormon church, what would you say?
Well, she didn't.
We know it's a real church.
She's not Joseph Smith. I mean,
But the one thing we don't know is where is this. You know, what are they doing? Maybe they're doing something. I'm telling you.
Why don't you find out? Okay,
thank you, Lisa.
Cut me a break.
Our point is you're the guy. Hundreds.
Unbelievable.
We're a goofy Yahoo morning show. We've undiscovered these facts.
Okay, I'll look.
Get to work, Harvey Levin.
Look, we're not saying make this the most important thing in your day, but get Surfer Tarzan, that kid in your newsroom. At least put him on it. At least get him to look into it, make a few phone calls. I think there's something there. I feel like we're deep. Throat, and we're talking to the Washington Post. We're trying to talk you into the biggest story of your career here. You're shining us.
First of all, we know Kim Kardashian's deep throat, okay? Not us. But we're just saying there might be a shady story going on here.
You beat me by about 3 seconds.
Look, every week, Harvey, we have you on, and you give the great stories to the Kevin and Bean listeners, and we appreciate it. We're trying to give back now. We're trying to give you a tip.
I hear you. I got it. I hear you.
It's just that they pretend like they're doing something noble by donating to charity. No, they say we're noble, we're giving some of this money to charity, aren't we great? They're not disclosing the fact that they're giving it back to themselves.
I got it.
I don't think you understand, Harvey.
Harvey, they're giving it back to themselves.
Are we done?
No, we got to talk about your site still. What is it that you want to feature about your site?
I don't know. I'm afraid to talk to you guys.
No.
Come on, we love your site. That's
and the Kardashians.
Courtney Stodden, I mean, I'm trying to think of what you would like. Courtney Stodden's been rejected by Playboy.
I know.
She
and
said,
they don't turn anybody down.
She said, "Playboy, I want to do it." And they said, "No, thank you."
No, thank you. And apparently it's because that her profile fits Penthouse or Hustler better.
Yeah, they think she's too whorish, right?
That's what they say.
Yeah. Love it.
And this is the magazine that puts 65-year-old celebrities that we don't want to see naked in the magazine
just to get
publicity.
If they got a pretty attractive 18-year-old and they won't publish
her. They think she's too skanky.
Yeah, exactly.
She's gotten all these porn offers, and you know she's going to do porn,
of
right?
Of course. Yeah.
She said she's considering them, right? She's weighing her offers.
No. Yeah, I mean, 6 months?
If you've
months?
Seen yeah. her tweets for the last couple of years, you've seen this coming.
Yeah, no. I exactly. mean, she's just been but, pining
well,
away.
I'd say by the end of the week.
We don't have to see her creepy old husband in the movies with her if she does porn, do we?
No, he's one of the guys that sits and watches.
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
All right. For all the latest on Courtney Stodden, the very sad news about actor Michael Clark Duncan, Prince Harry, and so much more. Just nothing about Harvey's friend, the Kardashian.
Yeah.
You can go to TMZ.com. God.
That's the real story. How much is Harry being paid off?
No. Stop.
Oh. What?
You're not going to believe this. There's a picture of Prince Philip, Queen Elizabeth's husband.
Right.
Uh-huh. And he's wearing one of those kilts.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. This doesn't sound good.
It's the second royal that flashes it.
Oh, no. Really? 90-year-old testicles now?
We're just putting it up. It's really crazy.
I don't want to see.
I know.
Harvey.
Mike Walters is in the middle of the meeting. Mike Walters says to me, "Does it turn a gray when it gets old?"
Okay. That's enough. We're done.
Here's what he had to say.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Yeah, we're done. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. Get on the story, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, my God.
Very sad to see Harvey's already been gotten to. He's already being paid off by the Kardashians or something, Ralph. Clearly, something's happened.
Yep.
All right. You just got to do what you do. Time for the showbiz beat now.
I think maybe Bruce Jenner gave Harvey a pair of his diamond earrings. He wears a pair of diamond earrings.
He does.
Two diamond earrings.
Yep. He does that.
What a weird old lady he is, Bruce Jenner.
Congratulations to the Avengers this weekend. Avengers passed the $1.5 billion in global ticket sales.
I saw it again. Man, that's good.
Making it the third biggest movie of all time behind Titanic and Avatar. So congratulations.
Wow.
Dark Knight Rises just passed a bill, too. Made $431 million here in North America. Overseas, $577 million. That actually puts it ahead of the second film in the trilogy, The Dark Knight, which made just over $1 billion back in 2008. So, yeah. Despite all that, Hollywood crying, not a good summer for them. Didn't make a lot of money.
They say that all the time. No, there's never a good time.
It's our lowest box office year ever. Please go see more movies.
It's a bad fall. It's a bad spring.
Yeah. It was a bad weekend for some celebrities, like Hal David, the songwriter, passed away at the age of 91 years old today. Legendary lyricist. Made a lot of music with his composer friend Burt Bacharach. That's where they had most of their hits together. He passed away at 91. Michael Clark Duncan, legendary character actor and just a big, big, gentle giant of a man, passed away suddenly Monday morning. 54 he was.
He never recovered from being threatened by Kevin.
No, he never did. Kevin took him out.
It was pretty much the death knell when Kevin said he threw like a girl and he wanted to fight him.
Yeah.
I never said I wanted to fight him. You said that for
you wanted to get in the ring
times.
With him and beat him down.
Yeah. And you finally won, Kevin. Congratulations. Whatever you did to him, it worked. Women are just bad.
What?
Women are bad.
Women are bad.
Yes. Let me
all
give
right.
you another example
right.
of why. Lance Armstrong. Hero of millions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One bald bicyclist.
Right.
How many of those do you know? Won a lot of Tour de France's.
Really, just him.
Was quite the legendary sportsman.
Right.
You know what brought him down?
What?
How about an embittered ex-fiancée named Sheryl Crow?
What
New
do you
York
mean?
Daily News reports that the feds interviewed her just before the grand jury probe into Lance's alleged doping while competing in the Tour de France.
The women are good for nothing, aren't they? You got that right.
Cheryl reportedly spilled the beans about what she saw Lance do with his blood while they stayed together at an apartment in Spain during the Tour de France. That's when the doping allegedly happened, and that's the evidence they used to move forward with their grand jury investigation.
Wow.
Thank you, Sheryl Crow. Aren't you just a sweetheart? Bitch. Man, hell hath no fury.
That's correct.
Like a Sheryl Crow scorned. Couldn't mind her own business. No, no, no. Did we come after you, Sheryl Crow, when you did a duet with Kid Rock? No. No, we just left you alone. But no, you couldn't do the same for Lance. Hell.
And by the way, Sheryl Crow had cancer at one point, too. I didn't see Lance Armstrong throwing her under the bus.
Right. No, he wouldn't. You know why? Man.
Okay, I'm going to take this under advisement.
You take it. You take it under advisement.
I don't even know what that means.
Put it under anything you want. Under your advisement, under your jam box, whatever you want to put it under. You put it
under your bonnet.
It under my soda stream.
Put it on your bonnet. Put it in your pipe. Feel free to smoke it. Russell Crowe got lost over the weekend kayaking.
I mean lost?
Well, let me look up lost in the dictionary. Not finding of way.
Huh.
He was off the coast of Long Island Sound last Saturday, kayaking with a buddy, and he couldn't find his way back. Got lost at sea. Luckily, the Coast Guard was around and gave him a ride back to Huntington Harbor. Petty Officer Robert Swicky said they were a little bit lost, but no one was injured. Now, Russell Crowe, meanwhile, is denying the story, saying, "We weren't lost. We simply ran out of day."
Oh, so they couldn't.
They started
get back
too
in time.
Late in the day, apparently, and then it got dark out, and there they are in the middle of the ocean in a kayak.
Oops!
And they really couldn't find their way back to land. He called it a grand adventure. I call it dumbass. But that's me. What do I know? And this is interesting. Sure. Harvey's on the take from the Kardashians, but is he on the take from Scientology and Tom Cruise as well?
I doubt it.
Because this story that's forthcoming in Vanity Fair magazine is going to upset some people. Finally, some documentation from this reporter named Maureen Orth, who writes a story about how Tom Cruise's wife was really auditioned for, like we heard so much about, by the Scientologists. Before he married Katie Holmes, the Church of Scientology went through an internal audition process to find him a new girlfriend/wife. It was a top-secret project headed by the wife of Scientology chief David Miscavige. Apparently, they went through all the actresses who were already Scientology members. They were called in and told that they were auditioning for a new training film.
Ah.
Offering them acting work, and then they would slide interesting questions into the interview, like, what do you think of Tom Cruise? Think he's handsome? Do you like him? Do you love him?
Why do you suppose they were only interested in auditioning actresses? Why was that the only suitable mate for Tom Cruise, I wonder?
Because how do you get someone to agree to an arranged marriage unless you dangle a prospective career in front of them? Plus, I guess they figured it would be a good match for Tom to have someone in the same industry.
Sure.
Nazanin Bonania. Bonadi.
Who's that?
An Iranian-born actress was the lucky girl who was selected. She actually dated Tom Cruise for 3 months between 2004 and 2005. But apparently things did not work out, and then he moved on to Katie Holmes.
I read excerpts from that same article, Ruff. She blabbed, apparently. She said something to someone about the audition process, and they shut her down. They
More
said,
importantly,
you're out of here.
They talked to a guy who was the head of the in-house studio. Mark Headley is his name. He ran Scientology's in-house TV production studio, and he watched a number of the audition tapes for Tom's girlfriend slash wife.
Allegedly.
And Scientology officials allegedly instructed her, the girl they chose, to lose her braces, her red highlights, and her boyfriend in order to move into the position to date Tom Cruise. So, fascinating article. You can read it in Vanity Fair, the upcoming edition of Vanity Fair. Interesting stuff. Right there. Big stuff, you bet. Today's celebrity birthdays. Beyonce's 31 years old today. Max Greenfield of New Girl is 33. Wes Bentley turns 34. Damon Wayans is 52. And Drew Pinsky, legendary TV personality, radio host, doctor of note. He is 54 years old today. We love Drew. We wish him the happiest of birthdays. And we hope he puts down the bottle, too, because it's embarrassing for a guy of his stature who talks so much about sobriety
to
be so hooked on coconut-flavored rum. Every time you talk to me, all you smell is Malibu.
Lie.
It's just Malibu rum.
It's 100% lie.
He drinks it in a coffee cup. I've seen him go to McDonald's and put it in a chocolate shake
that
once.
That is a lie.
It's just tragic.
You are lying.
He loves rum.
He is smashed most of the times he's on our show, but he is able to really make it sound good despite that.
Both
it's crazy.
Lying.
This is a failed project. I'm still no phone call from Drew or his wife regarding all the lies he's about this morning. What do you have to do to get a guy's attention on his birthday?
You're
doing your part. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How can this season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians still be on?
Oh, LaQuisha's glad it is, though. I mean, let's be honest. LaQuisha,
how many episodes in this season of the Kardashians?
This makes episode number 81.
81.
It certainly seems like it. I mean, all these other shows, you know, your Breaking Bads and whatnot have come and gone. The goddamn Kardashians are still on my TV. What's happening?
I firmly believe that they're now just airing their lives live.
Oh,
I
see.
They just turn on the cameras on Sunday nights and we just watch things as they actually happen. They don't even bother editing anymore. They just follow around with cameras. It's like closed-circuit television.
I got you. So what's going on? Where are we in the exciting lives of the Kardashians?
Well, when last we left the Kardashians, they were in family therapy, you may remember. And Rob Kardashian, the only boy in the family, was crying like a bitch.
Yeah.
About how they didn't treat him right, and he just wants everyone to be happy. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And I think the beginning of this Sunday's episode, we finally got to the bottom of the problem.
All I care about is, like, saying yes to my mom, making her happy, doing whatever my sisters want to make them happy. And I feel like when it comes to the easiest thing, they won't help me.
This is a very special Kardashians episode.
I love how that music comes in.
The problem is, it's a medical condition, and it's called He Got No Balls. And he lets these women just run roughshod all over him like the bitch that he is.
Yeah.
Now, Rob goes back to the room with the rest of the family, just trying to explain to them he just wants to be part of the team. And Kim, she won't have it because she came up the hard way.
It just frustrates me that, like, we're supposed to be a family and a team, and when there's an opportunity to be in the mix or even to do something
You say you want something. Well, no one ever gave me anything. Like, I worked. I wanted something. I made it happen.
That's right.
She did, in bed.
She worked hard to get what she's at. She had sex with a black man on camera to get where she's at.
Has he done that?
No one gave her any. Well, he gave her something, all right. But I'm just saying, she worked hard.
Yeah.
Look, she has a clothing line. All the years she spent in design school and her marketing degree.
I don't think she has any of that.
And when she was an intern at
nope.
Chanel.
I don't think she did any of that.
No. No, she just pretty much had sex with a black guy on film.
Yeah.
That's how she got what she wanted.
Right.
How does this family believe their own garbage? I really think they do believe that they're worthy of the things they have.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right.
The greatest trick the devil ever played was making the Kardashians think they had talent. Now, the end of the family therapy, everybody's very upset and crying, and Mom's crying, and Rob, we know, is crying, and Courtney's crying, and Chloe's crying. But Kim, she's just checking her watch, pretty much.
I mean, I don't even care.
But you do care.
Not really.
Really?
I'm just annoyed.
It feels
like sitting
here
for a long time, and I have somewhere else to go now. So I'm just annoyed.
Oh, my gosh. The attitude.
This old family crying thing is getting in the way of Kim's busy schedule.
I have someplace else to be.
She's got a mani-pedi appointment, LaQuisha. Come on.
She's a horrible person.
She's not good.
She's horrible.
Yeah, I agree.
And then the two youngest girls, chlamydia and canker.
I don't think those are their names.
Yeah, yeah, they're all K names.
Right.
Everybody in the family, except for Rob, he's just a bitch.
Yeah.
But all the girls are named after K sounds. And they decide that they want to be homeschooled because they're so busy with their bad fashion photography shoots and working for 17 Magazine with no real job there that they can't study for school in high school. So they want to be homeschooled. And Kim, Kris Jenner, the mom manager, is torn by this idea.
Kendall and Kylie have been asking me to be homeschooled for months.
So hard to keep up.
We miss because we're working.
I sit there in class and I don't know anything. And it makes me feel so dumb.
What can we do to help you?
Homeschooling or something so I can be at my own level.
I'm against it because I don't want them to miss out on that high school experience.
Yes. If only there was some way your children could have the high school experience without the pressure of having modeling jobs and working for a magazine. How can that happen? There's just no way to make that happen.
No, it's impossible.
How can they just simply go to high school and be children? That's just, oh, wait a minute. You could stop exploiting them. You could just let them go to high school.
Yeah.
But in her defense, look, they can work the rest of their lives, but there's a very small window where she can actually exploit them. Because after they get older and less attractive, they will have nothing to offer anyone.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, Kim feels bad about the way things went in family therapy, so she sent everybody an email. She wrote an email and CC'd everyone in the family on it.
Wow.
Apologizing, saying she wished things had worked out better. And she can't understand why nobody answered her email.
You emailed them. Maybe they take offense to that. These are things that you discuss in person, Kim.
This is really stupid. I've tried. They're just being blatantly rude and not responding.
Imagine that. Them being rude and not responding to your detached, heartless apology email that you sent your own family. Damn, I can't wait for her to die from some venereal disease.
I love them so much.
Now, she's got a great idea, though, Kim. She's going to bounce back and make everyone happy because she has decided how to fix Rob's deeply rooted problems of inadequacy amongst the family. Here's what she tells her mother.
I was thinking, what if you called, like, Bruno and have him do his own clothing line, like a men's version, and he can come along with us, and we can do Kardashian
Ooh,
collection
I like
men.
That. I love that.
I feel bad that Rob has been hurting, and I want him to feel like he has all of the support in the world that he needs. Now, if we have a clothing line, maybe he should have a men's line. You know, there's like so much opportunity out there for him.
Yes. How do you fix his feelings of inadequacy by handing him something that he doesn't have to work for and has no training or preparation to handle? Let's just give him his own clothing line.
A men's line. Let's
what
do it.
What is wrong with these people? Well, I'm just glad Kim is getting back together with the family and trying to make amends. She's going to spend the weekend with her sister, Chloe, and her husband.
Chloe, Lamar, and I are in New York, all for work, and I'm just excited that I have some quality time with Clomar.
Clomar.
Oh, she didn't say Clomar.
Wow. Clomar.
She didn't say that.
That's the name for the couple because they take their two names and put them together.
No.
Now, they go to New York, and they're going to go to Queens, which is Lamar Odom's old neighborhood. And Chloe loves going to Queens, and here's why.
Everyone tells me, you're so much skinnier than I thought. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And I just am like, I want to stay here.
No one's ever said that.
Queens is full of the visually impaired. That's why she lets go in there, because they're mostly blind people. Well, they do go and spend time together, and Lamar shows them all his old haunts, including his legendary Lincoln Park there in Queens, where he played basketball and learned how to handle the streets and how to get his game up. And the girls are so cute. Kim wants to play basketball, I think, against Lamar Odom.
You want to play a game of one-on-one? Do it. Yeah. Okay, you play horse. Yeah.
You should never play whores against the Kardashians, by the way, because when it comes to whores, they will always win.
I think it was
Everyone
horse.
Everyone in their family's a whore. How's Lamar supposed to win in a game of whores when you got so many whores in the Kardashian family?
I think it was horse.
What?
I think. Nice delivery.
I'll see you next week.
Oh, you're so excited.
Nope.
Ralph Garman is in studio with us. Ralph, I didn't realize you were a Batman fan. You never mentioned that before.
I haven't brought that up, really?
No. You like Batman?
Yeah.
What?
I'm surprised we never covered that.
That is weird.
In the dozen or so years we've been talking about my obsession with the Caped Crusader.
When you got married.
In the Batmobile.
Taking your wedding in the Batmobile, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, who's your little friend that joins us here in studio?
Batman himself is here.
Hi there.
Yeah. We get his microphone up?
I had it up, I thought.
It's up now. There we are.
That's weird. Okay, hello, hello. Yes.
Is that good?
Yeah,
can
that's
you hear
good.
Me?
Good start.
We can hear you. Yeah. I've arrived. Thank you.
All right.
Go ahead, Bean.
Good to meet you guys.
I'm sorry, I thought you were introducing. Oh. Sam Heughan is here in studio with us. He is the star of Batman Live, ladies and gentlemen. An international
much.
Sensation. It has played Europe and South America, and now it is coming to the United States starting tomorrow night at Honda Center in Anaheim, the 5th through the 9th, and then the 27th through the 30th at Staples Center. Ralph, that's when you're going to see the show. Batman Live. This is something no one has seen or done before. Tell us about it, Sam. What's this all about?
Absolutely, yeah. It's basically a comic book live on stage. We've tried to keep as close to the authentic comics as possible. It's been written by Alan Heinberg from DC Comics. Jim Lee, who's done a lot of the designs of the drawings, has created our Batman. And the comic book comes to life. We have pyrotechnics, there's illusions, there's flying, there's fighting, there's the Batmobile.
Oh, the new Batmobile looks amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Yeah. I'm so excited about it.
They designed a brand new Batmobile for this stage production, and if I'm not mistaken, it was designed by a legendary Formula One car
That's
designer,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, Professor Gordon Murray, who designed the McLaren F1, and I'm a huge Formula One fan, so to get in that Batmobile is really cool. If you're good, I might let you have a go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nice. You can drive to another wedding.
Yeah.
Just don't take a while.
you don't get to open it up on stage. You just kind of pull out and then you park it, right? I mean, you don't really get to gun it.
Well, yeah, maybe, yeah. I do get a drive on stage, but the first time I ever got in it, my mic was on. Apparently, I didn't know that. And the whole of the arena could hear me screaming
about
how excellent it was. So.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a little trouble in the early stages in rehearsal? Wasn't there a little bit of a fender bender involving the Batmobile on stage?
I believe it did crash into Wayne Manor, yeah.
All right.
Sweet. So what is the, without giving too much away, it's sort of like a play in that you have other actors who are playing Catwoman or whatever other characters that you encounter. But, I mean, are you acting out like watching a play or watching a movie? It's a whole story from start to finish?
Absolutely, yeah. This isn't just an action show. It's got the story, basically, of the creation of Robin.
Right.
It's been written for us, an original story. And we sort of recap over who Batman is. You see him lose his parents, and then we go to Haley Circus, and we see Dick Grayson and his parents, and then he obviously loses his parents in a similar way. And so
a lot of parents dying.
A lot of parents dying.
It's good for the kids.
It's a kids show, yeah.
But grief.
It is a kids show, and it's, you know, it is. Well, it's for all ages, really. But,
yes, it is, because I'm coming and I'm not bringing my child, so it better be for all ages.
It absolutely is. Yeah, it's whether you're a an adult you or a child, you know, you'll really enjoy it. And
Ralph's going to wet himself. Is that cool?
No, he is going to wet himself. Yeah. You know, when the Batmobile comes out, there's, as I said, we go to Wayne Manor, we go to Arkham Asylum. There's all the villains there. It's a really good introduction.
Is it sort of based on the original series, the comic book, the newer movies?
As I said, yeah, we've tried to keep
sort of everything
really close to the comics.
The
comics, or maybe the animated series is the closest thing to it.
And the nice thing is it's all fresh, too, because you've designed the costumes from start just for this production and all the sets and all those things like that. They are uniquely yours. It's not like you're basing them on something else.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. I mean, Jim Lee did all our drawings. So our Batman, he's very muscular. He's drawn this sort of really muscular Batman who's sort of, kind of a bit like a tank, really. He's sort of nothing gets in his way.
Right.
And it's all been based on that. And then we've got a great production team behind us. We've got Lady Gaga's designer who designed it, and Patrick Woodroffe who did the lighting. You know, it's a really sort of international company that's put together.
What's your background, Sam? How did you find yourself up for this role?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I'm just an actor that you know, I got asked to audition for Batman, and you know, I almost dropped the phone when I found out. I was doing a film before that with Roger Moore, who was playing my dad. So it was kind of like a complete change. I've never done anything like this. It's so physical.
When so James Bond is your dad, and you play Batman.
Yeah, James Bond is my dad.
That's pretty cool.
Sam is living the life you always wanted, Ralph.
Exactly. Yeah. You're probably a classically trained actor, right?
Yeah.
Most of you guys out of the UK are.
Absolutely.
You've done a ton of stage. You've probably done your share of Shakespeare and other classics.
Yes, that's right.
Then they come to you and say, we want you to put on a rubber Batman suit and jump around and fight the Joker. Is there any trepidation? Do you pause at all before you take that gig?
It's not too dissimilar from doing a Shakespeare. I think it's quite silly. You're in a skirt and
still
you've got
wearing tights.
Yeah, so, right. Exactly. But no, I mean, it's absolutely different. We had to learn, you know, flying. You know, we had to do a lot of core conditioning for that. We had fight workshops. We've got 23 actors. We've got 20 acrobats. So it's a real mixed company. Nothing like this has ever been done before.
It sounds amazing.
It really is spectacular. It's kind of it's very immersive. We've got a 100-foot-high bat screen. You could maybe get one for your house, actually.
Yeah.
And it sort of turns like the pages of a comic book, and it sort of draws you into the comic, and you sort of sit there as an audience member, and you're sort of taking through the comic. So
I've
really
seen some of the footage online, and the set pieces, the production pieces, especially that sequence where I guess it's the Joker's henchmen all come out, sort of they take the form of his head, and then they slowly start to peel off, and you go into that battle sequence. I mean, just the size and scope of what happens on that stage, I guess you kind of have to because you play such big venues, right?
Absolutely, yeah. But wherever you sit in the arena as well, you get your own sort of different view, whether you're up close in the Gotham City seats or you're right at the back, you get the whole picture, and it really is so visually stunning. And then obviously with the pyrotechnics as well.
Right. Do you hear from comic book fans who either love or hate what you've done with it?
Absolutely,
because comic book fans are not shy.
They are not, and I'm sure they're going to love it. Whether they come see a show, there's something for everyone there. You know, it's a great introduction to Gotham. But even if you're a fan, you know, you're going to see little things in there that you know that only a comic book fan would recognize. You know, even when they go to the Batcave, there's the dinosaur, there's the giant,
giant
playing
penny.
Card, yeah, the giant penny. Uh-huh. So there's little nods to the fans. Yeah.
Well, I've been following the show since, I guess they talked about it in Manchester when you guys premiered there a couple of years ago now, is it?
Yeah, we've been touring a year now.
Right. And everyone I know connected with, and I do a radio show with, or an internet show with my friend Kevin Smith, and we've got a lot of fans over there in the UK, and they have gone to see it, and everyone's just raving about it, so I can't wait to finally see it.
We're so excited to be here. Really are.
The Honda Center is where the show is going to kick off in the U.S. That's going to be tomorrow night, the 5th through the 9th. You can get tickets for that now. Also, Staples Center, September 27th through the 30th in Los Angeles. We have a pair of those tickets to give away right now to Batman fans at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to be among the first to see Batman live. Sam Heughan is our guest here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. He plays Batman in the show. Tell me about the first time you put on the suit. What did that feel like for you, Sam?
In all honesty, yeah, it was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. That cowl is amazing. I mean, when you put it on, you're quite restricted, and then you get the Batman stoop, or the Batman, you know, when you have to use your whole body to turn and look
right.
down.
Yeah, right.
But it's all part of the physicality, and obviously you've got the cape as well, so you have to deal with that. And
Not the ideal crime-fighting suit, really, is
it's,
it?
It's not really, no.
Because you can get the cape caught in the Batmobile door, I'm sure, and all kinds of bad things
times.
Happen.
Yeah, it's pretty uncool. Yeah. But you know, it's all part of the physicality, and, you know, his cape, I love Batman's cape, you know, it's kind of part of how he feels, you know, he can use himself to cover himself and to hide in the shadows or reveal himself. It's sort of, Yeah, another part of his personality.
It's very dramatic. That's
it
sure.
is very dramatic. And then we've got the cow and the, you know, we've got the grappling gun. You know, he's Sweet. Got so many devices.
I'm assuming you do an American accent when you're playing Batman.
I
the
certainly
of the
do. Yeah.
You don't do like Christian Bale's throat cancer voice.
I'm working on that. Maybe we'll get that in there.
Sam, how do you handle the comedy that has been part of some Batmans?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any, or are you playing it dead serious?
No, absolutely. It's an entertaining show, and I think that's again going back to the comics. You know, that there is a bit of humor in there, and I think if we play it too dark, or you know, it doesn't transfer across in an arena. So there is comedy in there. You know, our Joker is a showman. He's a fantastic actor, Mark Frost, who's playing him. And yeah, I think again, as we say, it's sort of in keeping with the original comics.
A lot of people have said, and I've seen, again, the footage online, that the representation of the villains, particularly in this film, are some of the best, I mean, literal translations from the comic book page to a live actor version that they've ever seen. And your Joker is remarkable, but even the Penguin and Catwoman, they all just look like they've stepped right out of the comic books.
Yeah, we have the Penguin, as you said, Catwoman. We've got the Scarecrow, who's, right. you know, is quite terrifying at points. We have, as we said, the Penguin. We've got Two-Face is there as well.
Wow,
Poison
everybody.
Ivy, my personal favorite.
Wow.
so she's a slut. That's sequel. Why you're like her, Sam. Poison Ivy is a slut.
42 actors, circus-trained acrobats, 3D Gotham City landscape. What are you doing for music? You have an orchestra playing?
Absolutely, yeah. We had an orchestra that recorded in Abbey Road, where the Beatles recorded their music. So it's so dramatic, and when you sit in that arena, you know the music starts up. I mean, I still get chills now, and I've been playing this, you know, for a year, and it's just so exciting.
Wow,
is that a musical? Do you have to sing?
I'm Batman. Thank God I don't have to. You don't want to hear that. No, there's no singing. There's definitely no dancing.
Okay.
And no ice as well.
Oh, good. No ice.
Yeah.
Well,
that's covered
all
bases.
This sounds amazing, and Ralph has been talking our ear off, counting down until this thing finally appears in Southern California. So it does
I don't want to say I'm excited,
amazing.
But I got my tickets before they went on sale through the American Express Early Purchase Program.
Yeah,
I may have been the first person in Southern California to buy tickets to the show at the Staples Center. That's how excited about this show.
We're so excited to have you.
The show is called Batman Live, and that's the website address too if you want more information or to buy your tickets, batmanlive.com. This week at the Honda Center and then the end of September at Staples Center, batmanlive.com. Sam, so great to meet you, man. Continued success with the show. Thanks a lot for the time.
Thank you so much.
Before Ralph does his final Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show, we're clearing the decks. We're almost at a show. We've got one more giveaway, a pair of VIP tickets to the third annual OC Brouhaha presented by Farmer John at Irvine Lake on Saturday, September 8th. That's this coming Saturday, 175 plus craft and import beers from over 70 top breweries. Live music and beer. What's better than that? You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph, that was a big thrill for you to meet Batman there.
He's a good dude, that Batman.
Seems like a nice guy.
That Batman or just all
Feel
Batman?
Feel bad about his parents.
It's just fiction.
All worked out.
Another nice. Goddamn foreigner playing Batman, too, by the way. You notice that?
A lot of Brits take over the Batman role, turns out, lately. I like this Batman, though, because he didn't, retire for 8 years and then start fighting crime again after someone tried to steal his mom's necklace. Finally got motivated to fight crime again when someone actually broke into his house. That's when Batman gives a rat's ass about crime, apparently, in some versions of the story. This Batman seems like he's pretty much out there fighting crime all the time. Pretty
full
much.
Time.
Full
crime.
Time. Yeah. 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 Oh, my knee. Bat pussy. Let's talk about showbiz news. Ryan Seacrest has retired as co-host of E! News.
I was so excited for the first half of that sentence.
Sorry. He's just too busy to do the E! News anymore. So they're bringing in Terrence Jenkins.
Oh, Terrence does good work.
Terrence used to be on BET's 106 and Park. You've seen him in films like Think Like a Man, Burlesque, and Sparkle. In case the BET or Think Like a Man or Sparkle didn't give it away, he is an African-American gentleman who will be co-hosting that show.
Okay.
What's that sound? Oh, Psycho Mike killing himself. How did he not get that job?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was that whole Adam Lambert prison rape thing.
Well,
maybe that
may not have helped.
That has soured the management over at E! regarding his performance, which is unfair. Kevin's very excited. The Democratic National Convention this week is kicking off.
Time to get out the TiVo and start watching stuff I
Taped last week.
How dare you, sir?
Hate it.
People talking about what celebrities will be stopping by. Of course, the Republicans famously had Clint Eastwood come by with his ventriloquist act. man without a dummy.
And then there was like a long line of other celebrities? Or
well, pretty much just Clint.
Oh.
But the Democrats have Eva Longoria speaking at their event.
Really?
I don't care what she has to say.
No,
though.
That's a strange choice.
Look, who cares what any celebrity has to say? Who cares what any politician has to say in any of these events? It's all just a pep rally.
Agreed.
Nothing of any substance ever really gets covered. But Democrats are trying to use the advantage they believe they may have with female voters. They're going to have about 9 different women from different walks of life, apparently,
part
of a larger presentation with the female populace. And Eva will be representing women. In general, really hot women, apparently. Cal Penn, of course, from Harold and Kumar, will also be involved with the project. He'll be hosting an internet coverage of the show of the convention. That's a show, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Ralph, let me just step in and say that a lot of the conservative blogs like Matt Drudge and whatnot are saying that Obama is going after the stoner vote by inviting Cal Penn to the convention. That's the way they're framing it, is he's going after the stoner vote.
Hey, stoner's got to vote for somebody too, right?
If they remember to show up, yeah.
Can you imagine? Stoner's calling us the day after the election, saying who they're going to vote for. It was a long weekend at the box office. A lot of people went to the movies. The Possession, number one at the box office this weekend. $21.3 million over the Labor Day weekend, made it number one. Then Lawless, The Expendables 2, The Bourne Legacy, and Paranorman, rounding out the top five. The rest of the top 10, The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Have you seen that video, by the way, of those kids who went to see that movie?
No.
Very funny YouTube video. Again, heartless parents videotaping their children. These two young boys in the back went to see this Disney film, and apparently it's got a very sort of bittersweet ending to it.
Right.
Something bad happens to Timothy Green, I'm guessing.
Okay.
Anyway, inconsolable sobbing and crying from these two little boys.
Really?
Ah, the movie's too sad. No. I'm so sad. And the mother's just got the camera on him in the back. Saying, what, would you see it again? Would you like to go back and see it again? Like, no, it's too sad. And the parents are just filming these kids who are just they need a hug more than anything else in the world. And all the parents are doing is just videotaping
them. They see
them.
Dollar signs.
That's what they see. Yep. So, that's up on YouTube.
Of course.
Dark Knight Rises. Sorry?
I'm sorry. Finish out your top 10, then I have a question.
Dark Knight Rises, number 7, number 8, 2016, Obama's America, that documentary, The Campaign, and Hope Springs, the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend.
Did you see the reports, Ralph, on the, what's it called, the Oogie Loves? The Oogie Loves?
Oh, yeah, Oogie Loves.
Worst box office ever in the history of motion pictures, right?
Yes.
Well, it is about balloon animals.
It cost $60 million to make. It opened on over 2,000 screens and made under $500,000.
Yeah. It's a kid's movie, apparently, and even kids said, nope.
Oh,
don't
want to
see the Oogie Loves. Are the Oogie Loves a character that I should know? Do they exist someplace else?
I have
is it a
no
book?
Idea.
Is it a cartoon? Does it have,
I don't know.
Does it have any sort of pedigree whatsoever?
I have no idea.
First time I ever heard of it this morning was when I was reading the Oogie Loves story. No one loves the Oogie Loves.
No.
They're poorly named. Should be called the Oogie Hates.
Less than half a million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Is that incredible?
That's sweet.
Sad showbiz news this morning. Hal David, legendary songwriter, passed away at the age of 91. And Michael Clark Duncan, of course, died yesterday. Just 54 years old. That's sad news. Oh, I don't want to end it on sad news. Let me find a more upbeat story. Hank Williams Jr.'s at it again. He was performing at the Stockyards in Dallas, Texas on Sunday night. Took a chance to share his political views in between songs. This is what he told his crowd. We've got a Muslim for a president who hates cowboys, hates cowgirls, hates fishing, hates farming, loves gays, and we hate him.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
That's what
Hank said. Has the president come out and said he hates fishing?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I remember he did have a policy stand on fishing, but I can't remember if he was pro or con.
Hank is so far out that he's not invited to any of the Republican conventions. Or
they don't want him.
Oh, they don't want anything to do with
him on there. They should have had him sitting in the chair while Clint was talking to the chair.
He crazy.
That would have been the best.
That would have been the best.
You know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
Right. They are the enemy.
Obama! And Biden, are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
Chuck Norris came out with a video this week.
Did he?
Him and his wife.
Yeah.
Saying that, do we have the tape?
Yeah.
We have time to play it? I don't think we do. Do we? We have to be out 52, right?
Yeah.
You want to hear Chuck and his wife Gina?
Sure.
Telling us that if you don't vote for Mitt Romney, bad things are going to happen to this country.
If we look to history, our great country and freedom are under attack. We're at a tipping point, and quite possibly our country as we know it may be lost forever if we don't change the course our country is headed.
Who knew he sounded so okay?
And old.
We know you love your family and your freedom as much as Gene and I do.
Yes.
And it is because of that we can no longer sit quietly or stand on the sidelines and watch our country go the way of socialism or something much worse.
Worse than
socialism?
Our great
president, Ronald Reagan, said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
Yes.
We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same.
Yes.
President Reagan went on to say that you and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Oh.
We will preserve for our children this last best hope for man on earth.
Yes.
Or we will sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Oh, no.
Please stand with us. Let's unite for God and country, and may God continue to bless the United States of America.
Yeah, it's part of a evangelical Christian group that is demanding people register to vote and get out there to vote against Obama. What Chuck should be getting is people to gather together and vote for God to grant him a better hairpiece. Because when you watch this video, it's hard to hear what they're saying because all you're staring at is the muskrat sitting on top of his head.
Look at that hair.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
So you can't vote for President Obama if you like God and country, right?
Correct. No.
Okay,
hey, you want to go into 1,000 years of darkness?
I don't want 1,000 years of darkness.
I don't either.
And that's because he doesn't like fishing? What?
I'm confused now.
Why the year's got to be dark? That's what I want to know. That's my question. Today's celebrity birthdays. Beyonce's 31. Max Greenfield from New Girl is 33. So funny on that show. The whole cast is pretty brilliant. Wes Bentley's 34 years old. Damon Wayans turns 52. And Dr. Drew Pinsky, who, by the way, personally wants to lead you into 1,000 years of darkness.
That's not true.
He is 54 years old today. Dr. Drew celebrates his birthday. We've been saying outlandish lies about him all morning long.
Correct.
Apparently doesn't listen to our show. No one bothered to call him.
He's busy.
I know. He's busy.
Being the Antichrist.
He's busy selling drugs. That's what he's
doing. How dare you?
Yeah. You can buy him right behind Jimmy's Theater on Hollywood.
That's where I've seen him.
Hey, he sells him behind a dumpster. Though.
That's not true.
Tell him I sent you. Get a deal.
Not true.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, a brand new show. We have Andrew Siciliano in the studio talking NFL football.
Oh, does that start tomorrow night? Yes, it does!
We're also going to talk to girls who do phone sex.
Oh,
We're gonna try and get Bridget, this girl that says she was abducted by aliens.
That's
what I meant.
Kevin. Hello.
In the studio so that we can do Ask an Alien Abductee.
Great.
So that is also tomorrow, and we have comedian Lewis Black on the program tomorrow.
Unbelievable!